This is episode number 92 of the Interactive Distractions podcast for the week of August 31st, 2009. It's time for me to walk. Hello and welcome to Interactive Distractions, episode number 92.
Hi.
Hey.
Eight episodes to End is Fest.
Eight episodes to End is Fest.
That's crazy.
That's less than 2 months. That's good stuff, man. It's good stuff.
Is it eight or technically seven? Because this is one of them, so it's like 92.
Whatever. Semantics.
Seven, eight.
Anyway, my name is Chris Furcio, and I'm here with Jason A. Stryker.
I need a new chair. Mine's really squeaky. Hi.
And Jeff Torney.
Word up.
Today we are talking about, what are we talking about? We're going to do distractions and some news. We're going to have a good old game review about Evil Genius. We're going to come back, talk about IPs, new IPs versus sequels. Then we'll finish off with new releases, listener email, and a new question of the week. But before
Not
that,
bad.
Jason.
Yeah.
How's it going, man?
Pretty good. If, well, I'm very busy, so my sanity is wearing
what
thin.
What else is new?
But, yeah, unbelievably busy. Got that stuff going on with the fundraiser. Lots of cool stuff going on with that. I'll talk about it later. But
okay.
Also, Indus Fest, of course. I've got some other video projects I'm working on. And yeah, not sleeping a hell of a lot. So
how's that one video project going, week, by the way?
That depends on which one you're talking about.
The first one that you told us about. The bar fights one.
Oh, yeah, that's a touchy subject.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
It's in hiatus right now. It's in,
uh-oh.
Yeah, waiting on stuff.
All right, then. Crazy.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Anyway, doing pretty good.
Okay. Jeff, how are you?
I'm good. I picked up a PS3 Slim yesterday.
Really?
Oh, nice.
Yes,
nice.
I did.
I knew that because I saw the Twitters, but whatever.
It's for radio. You gotta sound surprised.
Really?
Yeah, I wasn't originally going to pick one up right away. I was interested in it. I was like, yeah, they look cool, and we need another Blu-ray player for the bedroom.
Duh.
Of course.
And, yeah, so I went in there to pick up Arkham Asylum, and I saw them sitting there on the shelf. I'm like, ooh, yeah, that's right. Sony bumped up the release date, so I saw it there, and they had a few.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, have they been going pretty fast? And the guy's like, no, we haven't sold one yet. But he's like, a lot of people don't know what's out, and... I know the people behind me when I was buying Arkham Asylum were saying, like, hey, yeah, this is the new PlayStation comes out in September. So I guess they thought they were empty boxes or something.
Right.
I don't know. So I'm like, well, I might come back. And he's like, all right. So I went and stewed at my desk for a bit. I'm just like, you know what? I'm justifying it in my head. I'm like, yeah, we need another Blu-ray player. Tanya likes playing
Street
Fighter.
You're digging deep, weren't you?
Yeah, I'm like, you know, there's lots of times when, like, she wants to watch TV and... You know, and she gives me the TV to be like, hey, you know what, you can play your games, I'll go in the other room, or vice versa. So I was like, you know what, let's just do it. It's a good price. If we bought a Blu-ray player, it'd be around the same price anyway, or like $100 cheaper. So I picked one up, and now I have a PSP, or PS3 Slim in the bedroom. That's pretty cool. It's a PS3, not really much, but smaller. I will say this, though, I really like the pictures and the screenshots, but actually having the system in my hand, I don't think it looks all as great as I thought it did from the pictures, because it's just very plain, and it's not really that small. Like, it is smaller than the PS3, but it's like, imagine they cut off, like, a quarter of the PS3 and then smushed it. So it didn't necessarily... It's still wide and long, so it's more of like a big square now.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And
that's what she said.
Yeah, it's... you know what? I want to measure it against 360, because I really don't think it's any smaller than a 360.
Wow.
Yeah,
it's going to be... I think
thinner.
They measured it up. One of the websites did. I think Joystick did it. And the Slim is... It is slimmer. And, like, if you had it standing up, the height is shorter. But it's a little... like, a tiny bit wider.
Yeah.
And if you match it up to the 360, I think the height is about the same, but it's still wider than the 360.
Yeah, it is a little bit. It's
right.
Hard to tell.
But again, you got to think that the power source is still inside the machine.
Exactly.
So
which they could have taken that out and made it a lot smaller, but it's still definitely more convenient. I mean, it still looks cool. The only thing is just the fact that it's square just doesn't look that all appealing. I thought it was kind of going to be still kind of rectangle, just smaller. But no, it's more of like almost a perfect square, which just kind of looks very just plain. I'm just looking at my, you know, in the bedroom, like it's just sitting there. It's like this black box, basically. But it's cool. It's convenient. It runs really quiet. I haven't really done much on it besides transfer over my profile and tested like a game on it, and that's about it, really.
Okay. So,
but I'm happy with my purchase, and it's justified, even though we haven't really used it yet, but it's only been a day.
Well, right, congratulations cool. Nonetheless.
Thanks, man.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it. The rest of my week has been pretty damn boring and uneventful. What about you, Chris?
Not much to report. It's only been like 3 or 4 days since we last recorded. A few things that I'm a little frustrated about, but we'll get into that later because it has to do with a game. So let's jump right into that. Jason, what's distracting you this week?
Street Fighter 4, Blaze Blue, and that's it.
Liar.
What do you mean, liar?
There's other games that you're playing.
Is there?
He's letting someone else reveal it, so we don't talk about it first.
And I'm going to be like, oh, yeah, I played that one, too.
All right, well, how about we save that for last, because we're all going to be talking about it a lot, and might as well get the stuff we don't really care about out of the way first.
Yeah, I think okay. So.
That sounds good.
There's a couple like PSP homebrew games that I've been kind of playing with.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you guys heard that the Police Knots English patch.
I heard that, yeah.
Finally. This is like 5, 6, maybe 10 years in the making. A long time, but it's finally out.
So I know a lot of people have been itching for something like that.
Oh my god, sure. I've always wanted that. This is the
never
first
came
time
out
it's
here, right? It's just exactly in Japan. Yeah.
Yep,
yeah,
it's never Japan been translated. Right. So this is the first time, and it's pretty epic. So, but there's lots of different ways
that's
for you
cool
to play
stuff,
it. You know, obviously it's a patch and it's kind of a homebrew type thing, and it's very unofficial. So I don't want to talk about it too much, but yeah, you'll be able to find a way to play it on the PSP and the PS1. If you have a Japanese
cool.
copy.
Ooh, very cool.
Patch.
Did that ever come for Saturn? Yeah, that was originally Saturn, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And then they ported it to the PS1. And in fact, if you really want to own the game itself, I think National Console Support,
NCSX.com,
yeah, does carry like a re-release of the game, and I think it's about $30.
No, that's not bad.
Not bad at all. And then you can have peace of mind after you have it from
exactly.
a torrent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just saying.
There you go.
You know what? It's a kick in the balls for them not bringing it out in North America. How about that?
Right. I would still love like a re-release. I don't even care if they redo anything. Just the direct port or something like that. I would be absolutely fine with that. Because I still, to this day, I cannot believe that they've never translated that and brought it over.
Yeah, yeah.
Makes no sense. Let's see. There's another homebrew thing that I've been playing on the PSP. It's actually a Magic the Gathering homebrew program. And it's awesome. It's actually called Wagic. Like the M is like upside down.
Okay.
So just do a Google search for that and you should be able to find that. But totally homebrew. They've got about 3,000 cards, full card art, and it plays very well. I gotta say, if you have a PSP and it's modified.
The actual Magic cards? Or?
Yeah, correct.
Wow.
And the AI is actually decent too. They've got multiplayer. Like, you can actually just play on one PSP if you wanted to. So it would just pass, you know, you pass it to your friend after every turn. Which
that's
is kind of cool.
Interesting.
Yeah. Does it keep track of everything like the Xbox Live Arcade version does? So you don't have to really pay attention to numbers?
Yeah. Cool. Oh, exactly. Yeah. It'll subtract your life and stuff and, you know, keep track of all the
counters.
Yeah.
The effects and status effects and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Very cool. Check it out. Aside from that, one other game, Batman. But we'll talk about that later.
All right, cool.
Just because I'm trying to calm myself down because I hate it so much.
Well, yeah. We all know you were really disappointed, and we all kind of were, but we'll get to that in a bit.
I'm just trying to cool down, clear my head. I'm trying to be a little unbiased, but whatever. Anyway, that's it for me.
All right, cool. Jeff, go for it.
What did I play? Actually, last weekend... buddy of mine were talking back when I picked up Metroid Prime Corruption on the Wii. Saying that I never played Super Metroid like for more than like 15 minutes. And he's like, oh, for real? And I'm like, yeah, we should get together one time and just play through from beginning to end Super Metroid. He's like, yeah, we should do that. So he was like, yeah, I'm going to, you know what? I got a Facebook invite. Hey, I'm going to have some people over. We're going to drink some beer, cook up some burgers and stuff like that, and we'll just play through Super Metroid. So he expected maybe like two or three people to show up, but there ended up being probably about 10 or 11 of us there.
Wow, nice.
Which is kind of ridiculous considering it's a one-player game, but I was surprised how people got into it and people were trying to help each other out. Like, no, no, go over here, check over here, check over here. And it was pretty cool. I mean, but I have to admit, with that many people there, people did kind of get sidetracked a bit. Like, I mean, he told me to bring over my fighting sticks, which he knew people were going to come over. So there's some people playing a little bit of Street Fighter and BlazBlue and stuff, and then Wii Sports Resort. But we almost got through the entire game. Yeah, we got just, I'd say, probably about 20 minutes from the end or something like that, or half an hour from the end. Then at that point, everyone was just kind of like, yeah, they had to head out and stuff. So he actually had a save point right before the ending, just in case. So we ended up watching the ending anyway, and it was pretty cool. But yeah, it's got me. I think I might want to play through that because I have it on Wii console. So
there you go.
Yeah.
It definitely cool. Should, man. It's I've played through it. When it first came out, I played through it like, I think I played through it like three times because they, you know, the faster you go through it, the like you get a different ending. So the big one is like if you get it in under 3 hours, and I think I actually got that one after my third try.
Oh wow, I think we're at 5 hours and something by the time we stopped.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
good game, cool. Good game.
Yeah, so that, of course, got me thinking of the whole Metroid Prime trilogy, and I originally wasn't going to pick up that right away, but then I saw it at GameStop, and I am such
you
a sucker.
You are such a fucking impulse buyer, dude. You buy everything.
It's retarded. I seriously have a problem. I need to go see some, because there's got to be, like, Video Game Buyers Anonymous or something, because I went there, and I wasn't going to buy it. Like, I had no plans on getting Metroid, because I knew Batman was coming out and whatnot, so I saw it there on the shelf because I didn't realize it came out on the Monday, which I should have known because it's a Nintendo product. So, and it was there in a nice shiny metal case, and I'm like, oh, Scott, fuck it, let's do it. And of course, at that same time, I haven't seen Order of Ecclesia around lately. It's been kind of hard to find. They had a new copy of that there, so I'm like, yeah, I'll grab that too. So
Jeff, does just buying games make you feel good about yourself?
Like, I think it does, actually.
It has to. Come on.
Actually, that is a thing with me, is spending money. Like, it's just, I don't know what it is. It's like, if I spend something or if I buy something, whether or not I have the money for it or not, I'm automatically happy for a while. I think it's a problem. I think that's...
obviously. As long as he's spending it on himself.
as long as you're buying good shit, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, and you know, everything you've mentioned so far has been good shit, so that's
yes,
cool.
Yes, well, we'll see what happens when my credit card bill comes in, but...
Just after buying a Slim. Good God, man.
I know, really.
Yeah. Actually, like, you know what?
This week, I spent $500 on video games. It's fine.
Yeah, oh my God. When you put it that way, I should... I was going to say I haven't opened up everything, but yeah, I have. But, Tanya,
you're that guy that unwraps shit in the car, aren't you? You're like, you get in the car, you unwrap it, you start flipping
Metroid.
Through.
I had it at work, and I was so tempted to open up. Like, no, I'm not opening this up until I definitely want to play the game. So I'll get to there in a second. But just in case I wanted to bring it back or whatnot. But like I said, Tanya helped me out with the PS3 Slim, so that was good. So we split that down the middle. So thanks, cool. T. That was awesome of you.
I love you, too.
So then I opened. Well, you just got a T now. You got to convince Lisa because you guys got to be able to play Street Fighter together. Well,
oh Jesus Christ! Jason, I need some help with that. I need some help.
We'll see. We'll see what we can do because yeah, you helped out a lot.
Okay.
Checks in the mail. So I popped in Metroid because I never played Prime or Echoes, so I started playing Prime, and it's pretty cool. I'm kind of kicking myself for not getting into it when it came out, but I do love the Wii controls. I think they fit really well with the Metroid games, just from what I played. They feel intuitive and kind of natural. So, and it still kind of holds up. I mean, Prime looks better than I'd say 75% of the Wii games out there. Well, probably more than that. Probably more like,
oh, no doubt. 90%. One of the best looking GameCube games for sure.
And apparently they put in HDR lighting stuff like that weren't in the original GameCube version and stuff like that on Prime. Not Echoes though, because apparently Echoes uses different code or something. They couldn't do it. But yeah, we'll see if I stick with it. So far it's pretty cool. A lot more Shadow Complex. Beat that. Started all over. About halfway through it the second time. Want to do the 100%. Game's freaking addicting as hell still. I put it in and I don't want to stop. So I'm trying not to touch it until I get some other games done first. But we'll see how that goes. That's about it, really, besides that Batman game. But
I'm not ready yet.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I think that's about it. It's a little bit of BlazBlue, too, because of playoffs, and a little bit of Street Fighter, and that's pretty much been my week.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I will start out with some more Shadow Complex. I ended up beating it with 100%.
Yay.
And I started a new game and started going through it. And I started trying to get the 13% run,
mm-hmm.
but I kept accidentally running into shit. It's like...
Yeah, there's like two or three items that you accidentally run into. Like
exactly.
If you're just running
through
the room.
There's the one room that has like the life increase right there in the middle of the floor. And if you don't like, if you just decide to run through the room, you're running through the room. And by the time you realize it's there, you've just gotten it.
Right.
So, you know, that happened. And then there's like, there's one room where you're fighting like five or six guys at the same time. And there's one dude up on a platform and there's a grenade case right next to him. And I jumped up on the platform and I didn't see the grenade case. I jumped up to melee him. And ended up getting the grenade case. So I think I'm going to have to start my 13% run over
again.
Restart
from last checkpoint. It is an option.
Oh, yeah. You know, I didn't even think about that.
Hey.
Yeah, all right. But, one of the things that I mentioned last week about the elevators, I've realized after I got 100%, it's certain elevators. There's like some that you can call and some that you can't. So it's really weird and how that works.
It seems like after you've solved like that puzzle area, then they just kind of come to you. Like after you've advanced from there, then yeah, they're intuitive and they're like, oh, hey, I remember you. I'll be right there.
Yeah. Yeah. The biggest thing that I was having an issue with when I was trying to do my 100% run was getting to the right side of the map because, you know, if you can't run across the water anymore because as soon as you get close to it, it starts the cutscene for the last boss.
Right.
You know, and then the room, the only place where you can actually get to the right side of the map, there's like a save room and then there's an elevator and then there's another save room. And there's a tunnel that goes underneath, but I didn't know that. I didn't notice that because the room is dark. So I just wasn't shining my flashlight in the right place the entire time. So that was more than anything. That was what was getting me frustrated because I couldn't get to the right side where like 90% of the stuff that I had left, that's where all of it was.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, finally got through it on the 100%. It took me, I think it was like 8 or 9 hours, something like that. I don't remember. But, yeah, love the game still. It's fantastic. Started doing some of the challenge rooms too. Some of those are really hard. And tedious. My goodness.
No, but, really? I've only done a few, and I was like, these are actually pretty easy, but I only did like 5 or 6 of them. And
oh, you just did the training ones. They don't even count.
I started at the last one before they were locked, and then I went from there.
Oh, okay.
Those ones are, yeah.
Yeah, they're pretty cool. There's some interesting stuff in there. Let's see what else. All right, let me release my annoyance right now.
Get
Champions
it out,
Online.
Get it out.
I'm getting it out. Champions Online. I am so hyped for this game. I think it's really fun. I did start seeing some of the bugs that Jason was mentioning last week.
Bad elevators.
Yes, the elevators mainly. no, there's issues where like while you're attacking, your weapons will disappear and they won't be in your hands. And there's
beta.
Yeah, I know.
No, this has been ongoing for a long time, though.
Yeah, this has been for a long time, and it's one of those things where they're saying, "Oh, well, we can't reproduce it," and so it still hasn't been fixed.
Well, actually, it was the one with the zombies. Like when you go to Canada, they've got those like frozen zombies or whatever. When you kill the zombies, they'll die, but then they'll come right back to life.
Right.
Sometimes they weren't coming back to life; they were still standing up, but their life bar was zero, and the entire map is like filled with these spawns.
Right.
And they're not doing anything but just like fixed. Taking up space. And that was something that Crypto was like, oh, I don't know. I can't reproduce it. I don't know what you're talking about.
Man, whatever. It'll fix itself. Just reboot.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. That's been fixed, I think. Because I was messing around with Canada with two different characters.
Hey, what'd you say?
And I didn't see that. What?
What? You've been fucking around with who?
I was messing around in Canada.
Oh, okay.
Did I miss?
Else.
What did you think I said?
As you were, Ricky. As you were.
So I'm all ready to. By the way, today is Wednesday. We're recording on Wednesday. So yesterday, Tuesday, yeah, like 6 a.m. I was up getting ready to go to work, and I was like, you know what? I'm ready. You know, the beta's over. I'm going to purchase my 6-month subscription. I was like, all right, cool. So I go to the website and I go to my subscriptions and I click on the ad that says, you know, special offers. And I get a site error. It says site is down. The homepage was up, but when you click on the ad, it was down. I was like, all right, well, I'll just come back and do it later. Later that afternoon, I try and do it again, and they took the subscriptions down. So all of the special offer, the special offers were gone.
Just the lifetime ones, or the 6 month and the lifetime were gone.
Yeah, the 6 month and the lifetime ones, the discounted rates were gone.
Oh, is this what you're talking about on Twitter today?
Yes, yes.
Yeah,
and the way it worked is that they had sent out these, they had these news posts on their site, and they sent out emails, and they said limited time offer. That's the way they expressed it. All the emails said that, all the news posts said that. Apparently there was one forum post somewhere in the like massive amount of forums that they have that said supplies are limited or something like that, or while supplies last.
They said like, this in a forum post?
Yeah, in a forum post they said while supplies last. So the rest of them said until September 1st. So I'm thinking, well, you know, I definitely have some more time. September 1st is next week sometime. So, and now they're gone. And it's really kind of frustrating. I mean, it's...
So what would this have got you? It would have gotten you one of the...
Basically, like I wanted to do the six-month gear, and it would be the six-month deal, and it would have been 6 months for $60. So it saves you $30. It's basically you get 4 months, and you're getting two free.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of how it worked. And that's what I was going for. And, you know, when I logged on that yesterday afternoon, they were gone. And I'm not the only one who's having issues with this. There's like, they have a topic on their forum that's like 130 pages of people that are just ticked off.
That, 'cause that's fucking bullshit.
Yeah. And I agree. I mean, it's one of those, and they have the lifetime subscription thing too, which is $200. And I know a lot of people on the forum post were saying that they were thinking about getting that. And now everyone's talking about how they're not going to buy the game and canceling their pre-orders and stuff like that. And, you know, honestly, I can't say I blame them too much, because it's like,
either.
Yeah, it's one of those things that, you know, you said this is going to be up there until September 1st, and then you take it down, you know, and I don't know. I do like the game, and I think it's fun, but I think there's too many problems for me to justify $15 a month for however long. But, you know, 6 months for $60, I can probably justify that. You know, and Crystal likes it a lot, and, you know, I was really hoping to play it, and you know, unless they get those subscriptions back up, I don't know if I'm going to. But we'll see. I'll let you know next week when we record, because, you know, the game will be out by then. So, that's my frustration for the week.
Well, that's a very valid frustration.
Well, thank you, Jeff.
You can't say that. You can't say that's going to be up until whatever time, then have a forum post somewhere in a 60-page thread being like, oh, by the way, while supplies last. And what do you mean by supplies last? It's a freaking service.
And that's one of the things that's getting me a little ticked off. They're like, oh, well, we our allocation of discount subscriptions is gone. I'm like, how do you run out of a virtual product?
Unless it's a publisher thing.
That's what I think that's what it is.
A lot of people think it has something to do with Atari. A lot of people think it has something to do with Star Trek Online, because they were offering free entrance to the closed beta of Star Trek Online. And I don't give a fuck about that. I just want my 6 months for $60. So it's like, I posted in the forum that's blown up. And I said, look, I mean, if it's a thing with Star Trek Online, I don't care. Just bring the 6 month back, and that's what I want, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's my frustration with Champions right now. So as much as I love the game it does still have some problems, but the game was fun and I enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. But at this point in time, I'm not going to be getting it. So unless they fix this issue, then, you know, they've lost me. I'll wait for DC Universe or something. I don't know.
No, you stop that right now.
Well, actually, what will happen is that when it comes out for Xbox next year, they'll probably release some sort of subscription thing, and then I'll buy it then.
When it comes out for Xbox, yeah.
Yeah, when it comes out for Xbox.
Like,
What's that?
You don't think Microsoft's going to actually allow a lifetime kind of subscription?
Oh, God, no.
No.
Well, it's not really their call.
It won't be Microsoft.
A subscription based game is not on their live.
It's
servers.
Not on live. Yeah, it'll be like Final Fantasy. It'll probably be
Final Fantasy or Phantasy Star Universe. Hmm.
Yeah,
because those you didn't even need a gold account to play those. Mm-hmm. You just had to have the subscription because they have it on their own servers.
You don't think they have any say in that? Like, you don't think that companies have wanted to put their game on? You know, there's. Normally subscription-based game for like free on Microsoft and get a cutback or something?
For free on Microsoft?
Mm-hmm.
I
Like an MMO kind of game?
Because I don't see why they'd want to do that.
Well, how many MMOs have been out? I mean, the only two that have shown up are PSU and FF11.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, the other ones got canceled.
Mm-hmm. True.
Yeah. Okay. And,
I mean, where the hell's the agency, by the way?
But anyway, I'm done ranting about that. So hopefully they'll fix that, and I'll be talking about how I'm playing the game next week. But we'll see what happens. What else have I played? I played some more Evil Genius, and we'll get to that in a bit. And yeah, I think all that's left is Batman.
Do we have to though? Because I mean, we gushed about a game last week, and I'm sick and tired of gushing about a game than really freaking hating on a game.
Let me just set the record straight. Okay, so there's a lot of hype going on around the Batman game, this Arkham Asylum or whatever. Lots of places giving it like 90s. They're calling it like 95s. The best superhero game, of all time.
Possible game of the year.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's already contender for like game of the year and all this shit. And you know what? I'm sorry, but I agree. Oh my fucking god.
Yes.
I love this game.
Yes.
This is so good. This is not fair though, because I'm a huge Batman fan.
That's okay though, dude, because if me and Chris were sitting here being like, dude, really? Like, you really love the game that much? That'd be different. But I'm not a big Batman fan. And
you don't have
this
to
game
be.
Is awesome.
That's the beauty.
That's what I'm saying. This game is,
you really don't have to be. The game is really, really good. And I have no complaints about the game at all. I mean,
but there are elevators
expressed already in the demo. That I haven't expressed already in the demo.
Okay.
But it's the one thing that I was worried about with this game is that it was going to be too shallow.
Yeah.
Because the demo did not even come close to what the full game has to offer you.
And sorry for interrupting, Chris. Before you go on, for those of you who have played the demo and maybe were turned off by it, haven't picked up the game, that demo was not necessarily, it was kind of like a vertical slice of the game, but that is not the beginning of the game. Like, it has parts of the beginning of the game, but the beginning of the actual retail copy is a lot different than that demo.
Yeah,
definitely. Yeah, I remember going down that air chute or whatever, and it's going, and I was waiting for that one moment, right? And it never happened. I'm like, wait a second.
Yeah.
Shit just got
the whole
different.
Walk in with the Joker and everything. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
With the credits rolling and
the entire intro to the game is completely different, and it really takes you and pushes you into the story of what's going on, and it builds the anticipation of what's going to happen. So I like how they presented everything, and I mean, it goes without saying, but the voice acting just makes it that much better.
They did a
really good job with that.
And I might live to last week's question. Mark Hamill's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Like, he's pretty nuts. And, yeah. I might have to come back and revisit that question.
He's defined the Joker, man. I'm telling you. He has.
He's good. He's good. So what do you guys, how do you feel about it? I mean, I know that you're both probably farther than me, because I started the game and I got
I'm not
to,
that far.
I got to like the hospital area, and I got to what would have been a boss fight. And then I started over.
Why'd you start
I
over?
Actually, cause I honestly was having, I wanted it to be harder. So I started over and I put it on hard. So I'm playing it on hard
right
now. You're
going to pay for that later.
Probably. Yeah, I've already started paying for it, because it's the hardest thing about the hard difficulty is that you don't see the exclamation points above the enemy's heads when they are attacking you. So countering is a little bit different. Yeah.
Okay.
So you actually have to time your counters a little differently. There have been, like, usually the fights are easy. Like, when I was playing on normal, it was just fights were a breeze.
They're easy, but I like the way how they did it, how it's kind of like a rhythm, and you want to string your combo as high as you can to get, because the stuff that you open up later, it depends on how high you get your combo.
Right.
So you want to be like, it's kind of like a metagame within the battle system where it's like, okay, I want to get my combo up to at least 8, because at 8 I have like another 3 options that just basically look.
Right. You get the throw, you get some other stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I mean, you can if you want, just mash on X and then just whatever, hammer the crap.
Yeah, but then they also have the upgrade where if you time your button presses right, your multiplier gets
doubled.
Yeah, it goes up doubled. Mm-hmm. So the first one will be times 1, and if you time it right, it'll go times 3 and then times 5. And you get all these critical strikes in there, and it really makes it so that it tries to deter you from button mashing. And I appreciate that a lot because, you know, all the demos that I played, I never saw that upgrade. And then when I actually started, you know, fighting in the with the enemies, I actually got a combo up to like 36, you know.
And oh shit! Nice.
It's it works really well when you start really getting into that rhythm, like you were saying, and you're just like jumping across the room, and it's like, and you're just like, now this is what Batman is about.
And isn't that like exciting as well?
It is, and like, and in the middle of everything, you're beating the crap out of everyone. Then all of a sudden, he counters someone, and you know the combat is very simple, but but how incredible it looks makes it engaging. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
makes it fucking awesome.
It does.
Yeah,
it makes it extremely awesome.
Yeah, it's kind of like a. It reminds me kind of like a God of War type thing, where because the combat is nothing like God of War, but the fact is you can go through God of War doing the very basic attacks here and there, but
why would you?
Best of the combat, exactly. You want to do the other combos and shit. It's for fun. Whereas I think Batman does a better job of rewarding you for doing that. You simply can't see the cool shit unless you do it.
Right. Right. I agree.
I like the combat so far. It's pretty cool. I've had no complaints on it.
Yeah, I thought I was going to be like, whatever.
I thought it was going to get old and super simplistic. And, I mean, I've only played it for maybe 4 hours. But it hasn't yet, so...
Oh,
I mean,
you're
I
definitely
think
probably further than I am, dude. I'm not that far.
Well, I say I played it for 4 hours. I played it for like 2 hours, then I started over.
Okay.
So, right now, I'm at my second big boss fight, I think.
Big boss fight. I don't even know if I've fought an actual boss yet.
The first boss you get to is Scarecrow.
That's where I'm about. That's the area I'm in right now.
Oh man,
where I'm
can
in.
I
where
gush about how much
really...
I liked that sequence?
Well, don't,
I'm not
going to
say
that
anything
right now, and I think it's pretty cool so far to where I'm at. I'm like, this is some crazy shit happening.
Yeah,
Jason, are you almost done the game yet? Did you pull an all-nighter last night?
I think I'm, well, percentage-wise, as far as, like, collection, I don't know, whatever it says on the screen, I'm at, like, 47%. I'm quite a ways further than that Scarecrow battle, though.
Scarecrow thing? Mm-hmm. Okay. Are you guys doing the Riddler challenges at all right now, or no?
If I run into them, I am.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things where it just, if it's convenient for me to do it, I'm not going out of my way to do it.
Yeah, I'm kind of waiting because, and I'm surprised that this game's kind of like a Metroid type game where it's kind of got like a hub place and then it branches up, but you have to find stuff to open up places that you have to go back to, which is kind of cool. So I figured since the game's kind of like that, I think I'm gonna wait to do those till I'm closer to
like
the end of
play
the game
or something, like after your playthrough, like a new game plus type thing.
Yeah.
Can I say that they did a really good job with like kind of tedious stuff like that? Like, you know, some of this stuff is just, like, tacked on. It's like, okay, go collect this amount of items and you unlock a special sticker or something like that. And it's ridiculous. But, you know, there's a lot of voice acting going on with this. In addition to, like, the interview tapes, have you guys come across those?
Yes.
Which
flesh
out, like, all these bosses and stuff. And even some characters that you just barely, run into. So you pick up these, it's usually about, I think it's like 4 to 6 different interview tapes, and it's like, you know, an inpatient interview, you know, where you've got the doctor talking to like Ivy or like talking to the Joker and stuff, and they're broken up into parts.
Or really... the first one that I found was the, Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
Basically coming in and interviewing for an internship at the asylum. Yeah. And I was like, that is really cool, you know? And then the next one I found was her talking to the Joker.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so it was good stuff. It was good stuff.
It's all voice acted very well. So it's it's engaging. It's fun to listen to. I mean, typically that kind of stuff is like, whatever. I don't really care. But, each one that I found, I don't know if it's just because I'm a fan, but I've just been tickled.
No, I've...
And I'm purposely looking for them.
Yeah, and they're pretty cool, too, because they do it the whole BioShock way where you start it and you can keep playing the game and searching around while it's playing. I like that, so I don't have to sit there at like a pause menu and listen to it.
I didn't even know that at first. I was fine just sitting at the pause menu. I'm like, normally I would be like, this is ridiculous. This is a break in the action.
But it's Batman, so I'll forget it.
Another tape. So excited.
Yeah, one of the first ones I found was the Riddler one that I listened to the whole thing. That one was pretty disturbing when he's talking about dismembering a baby.
Oh,
okay.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. I saw
that.
He what?
He'd never do that.
He never will.
You know,
if it wasn't his.
You never know, actually, because in this universe, and this take on Batman, this is a very dark, you know, and they're very liberal with some of the, I don't know, gore? Has it? Not gore, but it's very gritty. It's very...
Yeah.
There's a little bit of swearing in it, you know. They allude to a lot of very violent behavior and scenarios. And they talk about that kind of stuff. So they're liberal in that respect, which is, you know, not typical of, you know, a lot of, like, hero games or, you know.
It's
not
Jason.
Comic games. What?
Are the comics, are the Batman comics darker? Like, are some of the, do
some
they have a series
that's... Some of them
definitely
are. Yeah. Definitely. So this is
This is definitely not, you know, because when I play this game, the first thing I think of course, is the animated series because all the voices are the same.
Right.
But, it definitely has a much, much darker feel than like the animated series does.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And they've picked stuff up from all kinds of different series. And like I said, this is just like a different take. This is another spin. You know, it's not canon per se, you know, because you've got characters like Bane. Well, I don't want to spoil anything, so I'm gonna stop. But you know, at the same time, it's total fan service as well, because as you start exploring, you know, deeper into the asylum, you get into different areas where characters were held, and it's like, okay, I have not heard about Mr. Freeze being in the game at all, but I mean, he's a popular character in the universe, right? But you you come across a cell that's like covered in ice and stuff. You know, and it's just subtle nods to other characters.
So they might not have every character, but they'll give you a little taste.
Correct.
That's cool.
From what I've seen,
I like
so
that.
Far.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
So visually, are you guys impressed by it?
Absolutely.
Overall, the presentation.
Absolutely. Yeah,
I think it's gorgeous. I really do. I mean, everything does look very Unreal Engine. It does have that. You know,
that's
not necessarily a bad thing. You know, so.
No, it's the only one complaint I have with the visuals, and it's not really a complaint. It's just a here comes the Riccio nitpick of the week by Jeff. is the Batman just a little bit too bulky? I think he should be. I don't know. He's a roid monkey in this game.
What?
He just looks huge.
He's ripped, but he's not like super bulky.
I think he's pretty
proportionate, and I'm happy with
that. I agree.
I don't know. He's got a humongous chin.
Yeah.
Like he's just got a humongous neck, and it's like a. But like I said, it's just like a little visual thing.
Okay.
But overall, the game looks fucking awesome, and I love the way they do with like little when you're bringing the Joker through. And I love the part where what's his face? I don't know his name. The crocodile dude.
Killer Croc.
Killer Croc comes out of the fucking elevator and he starts like threatening Batman. He's walking like that is awesome. He's just like walking like I'll kill you. I'll hunt you down.
I love it.
I'm like, this is fucking cool.
Jason's in Glee Land right now.
And the one thing it does. That a lot of I'll say a lot of third party games do terribly, and a lot of non AAA like B rated games do really bad. That this game nails, and it's something that I've complained about a few games. That the camera does not feel loose when you're controlling it; it feels tight, and it's not. I feel like if I don't touch it a little bit, it's gonna swing like 180 degrees or something like that. Or if, like go play like Force Unleashed, and mess around with that camera, then. Play Batman and then mess around with that camera. It just feels tight, and it just feels like they just really tied up like loose ends like that, stuff they didn't overlook to make the game overall feel and control very, very well. Which I think that's one of the main reasons why it's getting not the reason why it's getting high reviews, but the fact that people are surprised by it is that everything controls so well. It's not loose feeling at all, and everything seems to like Batman seems to have weight to him. He doesn't feel like he's just floating and like walking on like a treadmill as you're going down like a hallway.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know, and I like the way that it does do the automatic, like we talked about it before, the demo, how everything kind of seems, it's kind of like holding your hand, kind of.
Yeah,
like
it's, seems, it all seems very easy to do everything.
But it's Batman but it holding helps. Your
yeah,
hand.
Yeah, and that's,
yes,
and I've kind of gotten over that because in my head now, I'm like, well, you know, if it was Batman, he would be able to do this very easily. You know,
exactly. And
that's who he is. So I've pretty much gotten over that now. So,
that's what I look at it like. It's like it helps the flow of the game and the character you are. It's like Spider-Man, the swinging in Spider-Man around the city. Is create you hold down the right trigger, and you direct. I mean, that's all it is. And but that's Spider-Man. It wouldn't be Spider-Man if you're all awkward and bumping into buildings and you have to like control each hand. Like you don't want a clumsy Batman not knowing what the fuck he's doing. And you know, and just, I don't know. I like it.
Hey, I have a question for you guys. There's an achievement / trophy called Rope-a-Dope. Have you guys done this?
Maybe.
I don't know what's the achievement. Yeah, I might
It's funny as hell because, all right, so you guys know the inverted takedown, right? You're on top of the gargoyle and you drop down and grab the guy. Mm-hmm. Well, if you do that and then, like, swing away to a different area and batarang the rope and drop the guy on someone else or like near someone else so it startles them, you get an achievement called Rope-a-Dope.
That's awesome. No, I didn't.
That's awesome. I would never even think about doing that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just happened to, like, when I was playing, there's actually a part in the game where you will have to cut a rope with a batarang. So I didn't even realize you could do it. Mm-hmm. So on my second playthrough, when I you know, pulled a guy up and did the inverted takedown, I started swinging away and I'm like, I wonder if I can, you know, cut the rope and drop him on someone. And I did it and I was like, oh, that was pretty cool. Cause I didn't actually hit him, but it startled the guy below him.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it was like, bling. And I got a little trophy for it. I was like, that's hilarious.
you guys both got the PS3 version, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you guys unlock the upgrade where you control the batarang after you throw it?
No, did not. Does that work with the 6-axis or no?
I think it does,
but I think you can turn it off. I'm not sure.
I think I read that it's either or. Yeah, that you can. It's an option.
You can do one or the other.
Correct.
I will most likely turn it off.
I will too. Definitely. I can't stand
it. I will try it out for a little bit and see how they did it, because if they did it as well as like the arrows were in Heavenly Sword, if it works like that, then I'll be okay with it probably. But unless it works as well as, if not better than that, I'll probably just turn it off.
Mm-hmm. So. Cool.
I love it.
So far, I love it too. I'm not that far. Like I said, I'm only entering the scarecrow portion of it, but
that was done so well.
It's awesome. It's awesome.
I can't, like, I know before I said I put this on the same level with the demo that of what Wolverine would be if it doesn't get repetitive, but no, this is head and shoulders.
Way above that. Have you, Jeff, gotten to the morgue yet?
That's exactly where I am right now. Like, that's where it saved. I walked in, it said the morgue popped out, and I saw the save circle going, so then I just, I turned it off after that.
Mm. Oh, you exactly haven't walked around the morgue yet?
No, like, I literally just went into a door, and it said the morgue popped out on screen, and then it saved. So then I turned it off.
All right. You are required to go and play Batman after we record this podcast.
With the lights off.
That's right. Will do.
It's really awesome. The whole sequence with Scarecrow is fantastic. It really is. I wish that was in the demo, because there would be so many more people happy about this game right now. That would be excited about buying it.
Well, it's selling out. I don't know if they have the same deals going around with you guys, but there's three major retailers. Well, EB Games, GameStop, Best Buy, and Future Shop were all, and actually, I think Walmart was selling the game for $38 for
yesterday,
today, and tomorrow. And at first, I was like, so it was pretty much sold out. It was definitely sold out at all the EBs that I went to and GameStop. So I'm not sure about Best Buy's and Future Shop, because they usually get in a ton of copies, but. I was wondering why they were giving this away for free, and I need to ask, where did you guys get yours from?
I got mine from Amazon.
I did as well. I was going to go with GameStop because they had that additional map.
Yes,
but when I was ready to buy, they took down the collector's edition from GameStop for whatever reason.
Oh, they had it at mine.
They may have had it in store, but on the web, they did not have it available. So I just went to Amazon and got it, you know.
Crazy. Now, does yours have a little, like a sticker? Not a sticker, but something on the cover?
No. It does. Just stating that the Joker is playable. It's a PS3 exclusive thing.
Yeah, because mine has, which I thought was a sticker when I picked it up, but it's an actual, it's on the cover.
Oh, really?
So it's kind of distracting. It's in the bottom right hand corner saying. Yeah. EB Games exclusive Scarecrow, blah, blah, blah. That has in French, of course, bilingual. But it's actually on the cover. So my guess is if you get it at Future Shop or Best Buy, because everyone had different exclusives, basically, it probably has the same thing on it. So basically, you're paying only $38 for the first few days, but you have to look at this ugly friggin' thing that's actually on the cover. It's not a sticker, which is kind of disappointing. I'm like, oh, are you for real? But yeah. Whatever. The game's only $38, so.
Yeah.
Which is an awesome deal, and it's an awesome game to get for that price. So
I mean, we bought it for what? I mean, well, I bought my copy for $47, and I still feel like I got a great deal.
I got the collector's edition. I paid a
little bit more, yeah. But how's the Batarang?
It's not metal. I can't throw it.
Is that why we haven't heard Lisa in a while? Or
no, I can't. I can't throw it.
Oh, it doesn't detach?
No, it does not detach, and that's very disappointing. Very disappointing.
Because it looked huge. I almost bought it. I went in there and I was like, "Oh, it's a how much is the collection?" And he's like, $89.99. I'm like, "Yeah, no, I'll take the $38 one."
It's no thanks.
Definitely a good size, but not a good feel. So
that's what she said.
Oh, okay, it's mostly for show, I guess. Huh?
Yeah. I've got it sitting on top of my TV right now. Do you guys see the picture that I took last night?
Yes, that was awesome.
Oh my god! So I made a production out of this. Like I called it the night before. I'm like, okay, tomorrow is Batman Day. It's not Project Day. It's not anything else day. It's fucking Batman Day. I'm playing Batman, and that's it. So I got the game, and I'm like, okay, I'm ready. It's time, motherfuckers. I'm gonna play some Batman. So I got like a good portion of my Batman figures out. I set them up in front of the TV, looking at the screen. Watching the screen. I got the Batman cape out. I got my Batman shirts on. I got my Batman glass out.
Please tell me
out.
You're wearing a mask.
If I could find one that fit my fat head, I'm sure I would have been wearing one. But it was a production and it was a shrine of sorts.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I got to ask before we move on is being a huge Batman fan, playing probably many Batman games, finally having a AAA Batman game come out, how does that make you feel?
This is nerd vindication. I'm on top of the fucking world right now. I'm not kidding. Because there's been so many shitty ones, you know? And damn right, motherfuckers.
Awesome.
Damn right.
Awesome.
That's good stuff, man.
If it's any indication, if you guys have played it at all, my wall kind of looked like, a little bit like those, those cheap walls inside the game where you can, spray the adhesive on.
You weren't wearing pants.
No, not after a while.
Yeah.
And actually, it was shaped like a bat symbol too. What do you know?
Oh man.
Yeah.
You used a stencil.
I just have it taped off permanently.
Yeah. Gross.
Man. All right. Well, I have a feeling we're going to be talking about this next week, too. So.
Well, no, I mean, we can finish up now. We barely scratched the surface. We could keep.
No, we'll save some. We'll save some. We'll wait till we get to
the game.
That's
the thing. How about that? We're not nearly as far in the game as you are.
Go buy the fucking game, people.
Yes, absolutely. It's very good. It's really open world. I was surprised at how open world it was, and it does have the item collection and backtracking, kind of like a Metroid game. So that's pretty cool. Good stuff.
Awesome.
All right, cool. Let's talk about some Evil Genius. I've been going off about this game for a long time, so I'm glad we're finally going to get a chance to talk about it because I'm curious to hear what you guys think.
I'm finally going to shut up about it.
Yeah, finally. Well, maybe. I might still be playing it after we do this. So basically, when it comes to Evil Genius, there's really no way to introduce the game from a story standpoint because there is no story.
No.
The story is you're some guy that's evil, has a shit ton of money, and wants to take over the world. That's the story. That's pretty much where you start.
Guy or girl, correct?
Yes. There are three different evil geniuses that you can choose, and each one has their advantages and disadvantages. There's a little short dude, and his advantages, I don't know what all the advantages are, but one of them has like a...
He's funny.
You know, the area of influence that he has when, you know, it's like they have these little rings around them if you click on them. And if your minions are in the ring, they get stat boosts and that kind of thing.
That's so high level.
Changes.
Bring it back down to low level.
Too high. Okay. We'll go to low level. But basically, you start off on a little island and you start off with, I think, about a certain amount of money. It's like $500,000 or whatever. And you have to build a base into this mountainside. It's the base building reminds me a lot of The Sims in a way, because you got the house, like building your home and putting in the furniture and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's on a much more complex level because, you know, your minions need certain things. They have certain stats that you need to work on keeping up, and different rooms in the base will will accomplish that. So when you start the game, you start out with only being able to make like a barracks and a strong room, which holds your gold and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And as you progress through the game, you get more rooms that you can make, and you get different minions that you can train and that kind of thing. The point of the game is to send your minions out into different territories in the world and perform these acts of infamy. And the more acts of infamy that you perform, the more your notoriety rises. And, you know, that's the point, is to get your notoriety to the maximum point where you reach evil genius status. As the more acts of infamy you do, the more notoriety you get. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much the entire point of it. It ends up getting really hard in the end. So I'll be honest with you, I started playing this on super the fucking easiest.
Yeah.
Cause it is, the game's hard. I'm not going to lie. I had a lot of fun with the base building more than anything. And, it was just a ton of fun. And what, you know, once I got my base built up, it was enjoyable just to see like agents walk into my traps that I had created and shit like that. You get to go and steal all kinds of different kinds of loot and mm-hmm. stuff like that. So I was just having a ball with that. What do you guys feel about your initial
impressions of Evil Genius are actually really good. You know, it's like, it's what, like a 5-year-old game. I really think it holds up pretty well.
Okay. I agree.
There's a lot of humor involved. Yeah, the presentation is, you know, really slick. But I think there's a lot more, you know, focus on presentation over substance. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But that being said, I still had a great time with it. For as little as I played it, I really only put in like probably 6 to 8 hours or something like
okay.
that. So, I mean, I think I got pretty far, but, yeah, overall, I didn't get like that top level or anything, but.
Oh, I haven't either. The thing, you know, about halfway through the game, you basically outgrow your base.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. You end up being too notorious and you get these plans for a doomsday device and all this other stuff, uh-huh. and you basically outgrow your base, and you have to move to a different island and make it a base. This is like it's a blessing and a curse at the same time, mm-hmm. you know, because that's about where I'm at right now. Is I just moved over to the new island, and I've been looking forward to it because base building is the best part of this game.
Yeah.
I agree. When you get to the new island, though, you know, you have a certain level of notoriety to you. And you don't get very much time to build your base before agents start coming after you.
Well, even when you first start the game, yeah, you've got really limited resources. You know, you're still kind of they just kind of throw you out there. They give you a few different tutorial videos and whatnot. Mm-hmm. You know, you need to set up like the barracks and whatnot. But then all of a sudden, agents start coming in, and you're like, oh fuck,
right.
stop, go away, please.
Stop now.
And that's something else. I've got a couple nitpicky things about the game. It might be just about the gameplay. Like, I think it was intentional. Like, with the agents, it really pisses me off that your minions don't do shit if, like, an agent walks in the base.
Oh, yeah.
They'll just keep on walking around, doing their thing, and don't even bother them until you notice that agent is in your base. And then you've got to, like, tag him. And then if they see him, then they'll start doing stuff or whatever.
Yeah. But, There's some trickery that you can use to kind of avoid that, mm-hmm. and I learned it the hard way, and I highly suggest anybody that plays this game, I highly suggest that you guys start the game, put a couple hours into it, get your bearings, and then start over because it really helps to get a clear idea in your head about how you want your base to look. A lot of that stuff, a lot of the way you position things, it all ends up being very important. You know, as I said earlier, you do go and grab loot from around the world. And when you grab this loot, you put it in your base, and the loot that you grab, it creates positive effects on your minions. So you want it to be in a place where your minions will be able to walk by it and get those positive status effects.
Right.
And you want them to be able to be able to stand there and look at it, because that increases their loyalty to you.
Okay.
So that's important. But then again, you have to make it so that it's far enough so agents can't come in and steal it back. And because if it's possible for them to come in and steal it and bring it back to the country you got it from, mm-hmm. and then you end up losing notoriety for it. There's a lot of little things like that that you have to think about. And the first time I went through the game, I was having a lot of trouble. I mean, the first 2 weeks I played it, I was trying my damnedest to progress, and it ended up just not being worth it. And, you know, as I said on the last show, I went out and I watched a couple of videos about base building, that kind of thing. And I mean, that really helped me. I started over, and within 2 days, I was already caught up to where it took me 2 weeks to get to. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's important that you fail first and then learn from your experiences and then start over. I mean, I think this is a kind of game that you can really benefit from that.
That's a good tip. It doesn't sound fun at all because, I got to that same point. It's like, you know, I put hours into this and it's just like, I'm bored, you know, and I was frustrated because I couldn't really do anything and I didn't like how you sent out your minions. I didn't like the whole world domination map, that whole aspect. It's kind of sad because that's you know, your main reason for playing the game. That's how you win the game, right?
Right, right.
Right.
So yeah, the world domination map.
A large focus, but...
Yeah. There's a couple of nitpicks that I have about that, too. I mean, the thing about that is, like, when you send out your minions to a country, they will, that territory will send out agents in the country to find your guys. Mm-hmm. And that happens, like, every 10 minutes or something like that. But they don't give you any indication that it happens. It just kind of happens. So you really have to micromanage that part of it. They don't give you any indication that you should be going and change. And basically, the way it works is when you send out your minions to a country or a territory... you can either plot, which means you're looking for different types of acts of infamy that you can do, or you steal, which means you're pulling in money, or you're hiding, which means you're doing nothing.
Which will bring your heat down. Did we explain heat at all?
Not yet. Okay. I want to hold on to that because heat is kind of weird. But when you're hiding, you're not doing anything. So when these agents come looking for you, you need to put your minions into hiding so that they don't get taken out. You know, when you're really getting into base building and managing agents on the island and stuff like that, you know, you forget to micromanage this world map. So you really have to shuffle a lot of things.
Yeah.
You really have to shuffle a lot of things. The heat that you're mentioning, it's like if you're stealing from a territory, it increases your heat from that territory. And the higher the heat, the more likely you are to get agents showing up to your island.
The more that they come down on you. So it actually makes it harder. So I suppose it strikes a good balance. You know, if you're trying to throw out as many people as you can out in the world to do as much stuff, and you know, because that's kind of like your resource gathering phase or portion of the game, you know, when you're out getting money and discovering stuff. But if you have too much out there and you're doing it too fast, then you're going to get more shit down on you,
which makes the game
no fun.
And that's a very good point. It's a good thing to mention because while your minions are out there, try and keep your minions to one, maybe two of the, you know, the agencies. Each country has a different agency that looks over it, and it tells you which one it is. So try and keep your minions in within one or maybe two of the agencies. That way, you're not getting like every different agency coming after you. You know. So the idea is to try and keep your heat as low as possible, and it's really hard to do, especially if you're trying to perform the acts of infamy, because that increases heat really fast.
Yeah, I'm sure. The only good thing about the agents coming through, there's like four or five different types of agents, and they each have their own like jobs. You know, some will like steal artifacts or your loot or stuff like that. But what you do is you capture these guys instead of kill them. And then you can throw them into like an interrogation chamber,
which is awesome.
That is really cool, and that's actually one of the real high points of the game is the interaction with all the objects inside of there. But you know, the purpose of interrogating these guys is to actually learn their skills, and that'll kind of train up your minions, and they'll learn that subset of skills, and it starts off like a research development kind of thing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and basically, you'll kidnap people with different skills. And when you capture, like the first one that you'll find is a maid, and she just happens to be walking around the island. It's just the way they get you started. And you capture this maid, you put her in a holding cell, and then you interrogate her. And while you're interrogating her, the minion that's interrogating her is picking up all those skills.
Right.
And then you build like a training room so you can train more minions to be that type of minion. And there's like, God, how many types of minions there are? Six, like, I want to say there's, like 12, 13 like, different types of minions, something like that.
Yeah, it branches off. Yeah, it's like a tree system. Anyway.
And, you know, each minion is better at doing a specific thing. Like, if you want to send a minion out to plot and look for acts of infamy, the best minion to do that is like a scientist. But if you want to try and steal money, the best one is like a, I think the, what is it, the mercenary? The mercenary is the best at stealing money. So right. There's so much to manage in this game that, you know, you really have to, the important thing is to set up your base so you don't have to manage it. And one of the big ways that I did that, and this goes back to something you said earlier, Jason, is when, you have to like tag them to be killed or something before anybody will do anything about it. Mm-hmm. The second time I went through and made my base, I made this like this branch. Like as soon as you walk in the base, there's this doorway off to the side that leads to nothing. It leads to like five other doors that have level 4 security on them. And if it has level 4 security, then only the evil genius can go through them, and they're guarded on either side. Gotcha. So what happens is if someone breaks in and if they see, it's like the first door they see, they'll try and go into it, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a way to filter agents that way. And they'll go into this door and then they'll try and to break into one of the high security doors. And as soon as that happens, it automatically tags them for capture. And everybody that's guarding those doors just like zooms in and beats the hell out of them and then captures them. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a way to automatically manage the entrance of your base.
Right.
It works pretty well. And then the other thing I do is like I'll have a separate entrance all the way on the other side of the island that basically leads to nothing but this big trap room with like the wind traps that shoot them across the room. Mm-hmm. and make it really difficult. If they walk into that room, really hard to get out.
I was going to say that they can destroy traps, so it's like, okay. Would they be able to destroy that one, the wind trap?
Yeah, they can destroy it. They like the agents have this move where they can roll, and if they roll, it basically any trap that goes off, it doesn't hit them.
Really?
But they, you know, it happens only like one in every two chances or something like that. So, you know, most of the time, if they walk into that trap room, they're gonna get caught because they have to break in. And then the door closes behind them, and they have to break out too. Mm. So the door doesn't just open up to let them out. That's the good thing. So as they're walking around that little room, if you have like motion detectors, it'll catch the motion, try and blow them across the room, and then have another trap on the other side that comes down and gives them like poison gas or something.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
See, in my experience, and this is my other nitpick about the game, is the traps are like far too unreliable. It's like this chaos thing. It's like because your minions can set them off.
Yes, your minions can set them off.
Sometimes the agents can, you know, destroy them, and they're expensive, you know. And what I've actually found myself doing is just setting up like a long corridor of like security doors, because it takes them a certain amount of time before they're able to get through those, right?
Right.
So you just
set
up like security cameras and stuff, and then the security doors, and usually by that time I can catch stuff, you know, after they've gone through a few or something like that.
Yeah.
So that's
and the good thing about doing it that way is that the agents are stupid, because they'll if you have a long corridor of security doors. Eventually they're going to start like losing track of where they are, and they might start going the other direction.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a really good way to get agents to stay out of your hair too. So,
but at the same time, it's like, that's really disappointing because the traps are so much fun.
Yes.
They're
the
super
traps
fun
are
to
fun.
Watch. They're very humorous. The animation is great. You know, I think it's one of the big draws of the game, but then they kind of suck. You know,
yeah, it really depends on how you set them up.
Yeah. I wasn't having any success with them. So
I got you. I actually, I didn't have any success with them until after I like went out and started watching videos for it and stuff like that. So
I was a cheater.
I ended up learning a lot from watching that stuff. But I mean, there are some people that did some really creative stuff with like the jets that shoot out the fire. I don't know if you've seen those, but I saw one basic room that had like motion detectors in it, and if it set off one of those motion detectors, every single one of these flame jets in the room would go off all at one time, and the entire room just fills up with fire and kills whatever's in that room.
Damn.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of creative ways to work with traps and get them to work for in your favor.
Yeah, so I think I would enjoy that game a lot more if I was able to use the traps better. So
yeah,
I should research that. And you know, what pissed me off though is the agents that don't come through the main entrance. They actually tunnel underground and then just pop up.
I found out what that's about.
Okay.
Apparently, if an agent breaks into a room that's level 3 security or higher, that's when they'll start doing the tunneling. Because apparently, it's one of those things that they only do it when they know they're not going to get caught. And it's if they're in a room that has a level 3 or higher security door, then nobody else can get in there except for the evil genius. So they have the opportunity to tunnel. I was having a lot of trouble with that with my first playthrough.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. That was frustrating as hell. Because they tunnel into a room with a bunch of minions, and the minions is like, okay, all right, that's
yeah, cool. And they just don't do
tunnel
anything.
Away.
Right. They'll tunnel in and steal something and tunnel out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I lost a couple. Like my first playthrough, I lost a few items that way. And it kind of got to me.
Yeah, that's frustrating.
But let me say, the one thing that I'm having, that I'm running into right now is, like I was saying, when you switch over to the new island, I kind of went overboard. It's like when you get to move to the new island after you finish the fourth objective, and the end of the fourth objective is to basically steal X number of super loot items, like uber loot, and it's like one of them is the Eiffel Tower. You have your scientists developed a shrink ray, and they can shrink the Eiffel Tower, and you steal it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's total bullshit, but it's funny. So you get 4 out of the 6 uber loot items in the world, and then you're supposed to send out enough minions so that you pull in $10,000 a minute for 5 minutes. And at that point, they say that your notoriety should be at least 200. Well, unfortunately, mine's at like 350. So I've got all these super agents coming after me, and agents don't die on the first island. You can't kill them. So basically, you know, I got to the second island and I started building my base, and all of a sudden I've got like 3 super agents walking around my base. I have no place to put them if I capture them. I have no place to interrogate them. And it's at a point where I don't know what I'm going to do right now. So I'm doing the best I can to try and finish the base off as quickly as possible and at least get it so that I can function. That's something else that that's another mistake that I made on my second playthrough. It says to get your notoriety to 200. Don't go any further than 200. At 200, you'll probably have 2 super agents after you. I'm at 350. I have like 5. It's crazy. And, you know, there's always a super agent after me. It's ridiculous. But, I haven't beaten it, obviously, because I just got to the second island.
Mm-hmm.
But I am really, really enjoying it. And I really liked the base building. It reminds me a lot of The Sims, and it really feels like a real-time strategy plus The Sims kind of game. And then if you actually use traps a lot, it actually gets into that whole almost like the tower defense area too when you get into that. So
yeah, I like that.
I'm really enjoying the game. And one of the things that Jason, that you mentioned that I want to go into a little bit more is like the interrogations. I know of 3 different ways to interrogate. One of them is the interrogation chair, which your minions will spin the dude around and smack him in the head and start doing Michael Jackson moves in front of him. And it's hilarious to watch. You could just zoom in and sit there and watch it. One of the other ones is the giant mixer in the kitchen, in the mess hall. And you can throw them in the giant mixer and just let it go. And then the other one that I've used is when you open up the archive room and you get the bookcase, you can put them in the bookcase and start slamming the bookcase together. And it's like, it does that, like, that silly cartoon thing where every time it slams and opens up, the dude's in a different position, you know?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's really hilarious to watch the interrogations. It's good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They put a lot of effort in that. Yeah. And I appreciate it. Thank you.
I do too.
Very much.
Jeff, I know you didn't have as much success.
No. I'm not a big fan of RTS games, so it took me a while to really get into it at all. And there's a lot to manage in the game, and that pretty much was a big turnoff. It's just not my thing. I respect for what it is. I mean, if for RTS junkies, I think it would still be fun to them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of a different kind of a spin on it, I guess. And I don't know. I myself don't enjoy real-time strategy games, but
unless it's Halo Wars.
Yeah, that one still didn't even hold my. Well, that was easy. That's not a lot of management at all.
Oh, okay. Okay.
That's literally click on shit and attack.
Yeah.
So this is way too much management for my liking. And
yeah, there's definitely a lot of management in this game, and it's It's not an easy game, at least not for me, because I don't do RTS games very often. So right. I ended up putting it on easy. And my first playthrough, when I was having so much trouble, I actually started breaking out the cheat codes. Because there's cheat codes to like get unlimited money, and all kinds of stuff. So if you guys are interested in getting this game, I suggest going out and finding the unofficial 1.1 patch. I think it's 1.1. And it basically allows you to have... See, the highest number... The total amount of minions you're allowed to have is 100. Mm-hmm. With the 1.1 unofficial patch, you get 150. And it does a couple other things, like the fact that you could put sentry guns in the base, and you can actually put, like... you know, in the security room, you can put gun racks. It allows you to put the gun racks in the barracks, too, so that it makes it easier for the minions to go and get them. Mm-hmm. And that kind of thing. So it just does things that make the game a little bit more convenient and make more sense. So I highly suggest implementing that patch.
Hey, do we have an email, by the way?
We do have an email. Let me go into that. This comes from Jack Bauer. Mm-hmm. And he has to say, overall, Evil Genius is a fun game that has a few flaws. The majority of the enjoyment comes from the building of the lair and protecting it from the baddies. Mm-hmm. However, once you have completely filled up your base to how you need, the game becomes a little repetitive. I wasn't too fond of having to spend hours sending minions around the planet just to find out my notoriety still isn't high enough to progress.
Yeah.
I didn't even attempt to micromanage minions my minions' stats. To sum it up, great fun at first, but not something you're likely to play through twice. It's from Jack, Where's My White Cat 2-Stroke Bauer?
It's funny on two different levels.
I want to comment on a couple things that he says. The base building is definitely the most fun, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And again, it's both a blessing and a curse that they send you to a new island to build a new base, because it is the most fun, and I'm glad I get to do it again, but... At the same time, you have other... Yeah, it's a lot harder to build the second base because everyone's coming after you.
Yeah, I can see that. That may have been their way of saying, okay, take everything that you've learned, you know, in your first island and then just apply it here, so...
Yeah, and I think that's very much what it is, too. I don't know how long the game is, but I know that you move to the second island after you complete Objective 4. And each objective has like a certain number of tasks you have to do. Mm-hmm. And Objective 4 is the one where you have to steal the Uber loot, and you have to get like a certain amount of money each time. So when you see that one come up, you know, keep that in mind. And another thing I will mention is when you're moving to the new island, before you move to the new island, save your game and then go and destroy every item that's in your base. Because every time you destroy an item, you get money back. Right. So go through and destroy all the items, get some money, and then move to the new island.
So that's pro tip provided too. By Christopher Riccio.
The other thing I wanted to mention is the micromanaging of minion stats. You don't really have... If you set up your base, right, you don't have to do that.
Right. They're limits. You cannot really micromanage. You can micromanage their like emotions and everything, but not, you can't like point and click on one and say, hey, go do this.
Which actually bugs the crap out of me sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, oh, look, there's a guard right here and there's an agent trying to break in. Attack him. Why aren't you attacking him? Oh, wait, he's stealing that. Get it back. You know, you can't do that. You can only micromanage your henchmen. Mm-hmm. And you start off with one henchman, and then you get to, as you progress through the game, you'll get more that want to join your organization. So that's right. Another thing to keep in mind.
Henchmen are kind of like the heroes in like Warcraft 3, if that makes any sense. Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense. And each henchman, each Evil Genius starts out with a different henchman, and each henchman has the different special abilities that they can do. The short Evil Genius dude starts with the best henchman. The henchman that he gets is the samurai guy. And one of his special moves is that he can teleport anywhere on the island.
He also runs around going, Gojira!
Gojira!
Which is stereotypical, but kind of funny.
But it's funny. But what I was getting at is that if you set up your base right, you don't necessarily have to micromanage the stats. The video that I mentioned last week that I posted online talks about very basic beginner like setup of your base, and if you watch that video, which is in the thread on VG Evo, if you watch that video, my barracks is really, it's a large room, and the center is clear of everything. And the reason it's clear of everything is because when I get loot, I drop it in that center aisle, basically. Uh-huh. And then basically your minions have to walk past that stuff. And as they walk past the loot, their stats increase. So
they're like, check this shit
exactly.
out.
Exactly. So like your basic corridors where you know minions are going to walk down, that's where you put your loot, because as they walk past the loot, their stats are going to increase.
They get a little feeling of pride.
Yeah, there you go.
However, if you're like me and don't know about any of that stuff, your minions will fall asleep in the control room.
that's right.
They just get bored. So what you do is you actually publicly execute one of them, and it makes them all pay attention again.
That's awesome. Really funny.
Yeah. So you just go in there, you can actually right-click them and then select to kill them, and then you go in there and kill them, and then everybody's all, like, happy to work again. It's pretty cool.
It's amazing.
And then you just order a new minion. Great.
And then sometimes, if their loyalty is low and they decide that they're leaving the organization, you can capture them, throw them into a jail cell, and then wait a couple minutes and then let them out, and they're working for you again. It's great.
What do you know?
So that works too. Yeah. But yeah, that's the gist of the game. There's really not much else more to go into. It's all about the base building and how you set things up. It's all and just pace yourself. Don't try and do too many acts of infamy at one time and get your notoriety up too high before you get to the new island. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much the gist of it.
Yeah. So I mean, overall, I enjoyed it. RTS is not my genre either. I think there's some pacing issues. It's tough micromanaging everything. It might just be because I suck. Who knows? But overall, you can tell that they really put a lot of thought into this, and like everything is pretty well detailed. Yeah. There's lots of stuff to do. It's not a kiddie. It's very deceiving. I mean, because you look at the game, and I overlooked it too, because nobody's really talking about it. And it looked like it was kind of like an Austin Powers kind of ripoff. You've seen some of those like tycoon games, like Jail Tycoon and shit like that. That's like they're obvious like cash in on a certain genre. And this one, at first glance might seem like that, but it's pretty damn deep and it's hard.
It's a pretty deep game.
It's entertaining. So I think they did a great job, and it's overall it's held up, and you could still spend your $10 and enjoy it today.
What do you give it, Jason?
Like a score wise?
No, well, our distraction rating. What do you give it?
I always forget our distraction rating.
daytime job.
Yeah,
which is the lowest. Job. Then the minor, lowest. Major, and terrible.
Major.
Really? All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Good deal.
Because when you get sucked in, and then five hours go by.
That is very true. Jeff, I already know what you're going to say, so why don't you go ahead
and say it. The thing is, I can't do it because that's myself if I was like rating the game what I would like the game, but I know it's what it is. It's a competent RTS game that has humor and takes from a different angle, which I like. Just for me, it's just not my thing. But I would recommend it. I'd basically say, hey, do you like RTS games? Try this game.
Okay.
Without a doubt. All right.
Well, I'm gonna actually give our first good old distraction a terrible distraction. I could not, when I was really into this game, I could not stop thinking about it. I could not stop playing it. It's like, when I think of a terrible distraction, I think of something that when I'm at work, I'm thinking, I want to be at home playing this game.
Yeah.
And when I was at work, every once in a while, I was like skimming, I was like jumping over to YouTube and checking out videos and shit like that. And that's the definition of a terrible distraction to me. And that's the way it was working for me. I have never made a video about a game. Let's put it that way. Except for PSU. I've done it once for PSU, but that's it. So definitely terrible distraction. $10, it's a great deal. Go to GOG.com and you'll get it now. If you're into RTS games or even into The Sims, this might be good for you.
It should also be noted that Steam has put out Evil Genius as well for like the same price. Unfortunately, it's a no-brainer to get it at GOG because you get soundtrack, you get a bunch of other, bonus stuff. It's like, why?
DRM-free.
And it's DRM-free. So I will always choose good old games over Steam anytime. Mm-hmm. Good deal. Well, considering we just brought it up, mm-hmm. let's bring up what our next one is, because our next good old distraction just came out on Steam as well. Our next good old distraction is Fallout, the original Fallout.
The original.
And we all loved Fallout 3. Everybody knows that. So we're going to be playing the original, which just came out on Steam for $10. But wait, you can get it on Good Old Games with no DRM for $6.
Yep.
So go to Good Old Games and get Fallout, the original Fallout, and play it with us throughout the month of September. And that's the game we're going to be playing. It's going to be
fun. I'm looking forward to this one. I want to see the roots.
Yeah, me too. And that's really what it's all about, because I didn't...
I hope you guys...
I mean, I made the mistake a while back of you know, Fallout 3 was the first time I ever actually looked at what a Fallout game was, and I just, like, saw random videos of it, and originally I thought it was a first-person shooter, you know? And then Jason corrected me and told me it was an RPG, and I started looking more into it, and then I got into the game, and everybody knows how much I got into the game if you listen to the show, you know? So...
Hey, can we add a little something on how or why we do these reviews? I mean, they're not like score-based reviews or anything like that.
No.
But apparently, we did not make ourselves entirely clear, and some people were thinking that we were doing like retroactive style reviews. Our intent with this is to try and discern whether or not these games are worth the money today. You know, whether or not you know we played it in the past or. You know, doesn't matter what we've heard about the game, you know, would we actually spend, you know, $5, $6, $10 on this game right now when we've got all this other stuff?
Right.
So at first glance, it might seem that, you know, we're judging it a little harshly or that we're being unfair. It's like, you know, obviously graphics aren't going to hold up, you know, 5 years down the road. So when we nitpick about stupid stuff like that, you know, it's not really affecting the, you know, us overall. But it's something that we have to take into consideration when we're actually paying for this game. You know what I mean?
That's right. No, you have to.
It's all about, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there that you can spend $10 on now.
Right.
You know, you can buy lots of games on PSN for $10, Xbox Live Arcade, Steam, and Good Old Games. So, you know, when we do something like that, these reviews, we're trying to tell you whether or not it's worth paying, you know, if your $10 is well spent in this spot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's kind of what we're going at. We're not comparing this to any other game or anything like that. We just want to inform you guys, you know, whether or not it's a good buy right now.
Right.
And and for those that don't know, I gave this game a terrible distraction. That is our highest I don't know,
rating.
Recommendation.
That's like a 5 out of 5, basically.
Yeah, it's basically the best one we give, and it's kind of a joke that we say terrible, just so you know.
Because it distracts from our real life.
But, that's right.
But yeah, we're not in the business of doing the reviews like at that time, you know. We're not like going back in time and saying, oh my god, this game is great, and compared to everything else at that time. I mean, we have to compare it to what's out now.
Yeah.
Because
you're spending your money now.
Right. Can't go back in time and spend your money. It doesn't work that way.
Right. Okay. Cool. Anyway, I feel better.
Good stuff. Well, Jeff, take it away, man. Let's do some news.
News!
All right. We'll do a little bit of news, a little bit of a slower news week compared to last week.
Batman Arkham Asylum came out this past week.
It did come out. Awesome.
And that's all that matters? Oh, sorry.
Coming out in October 20th. Is the PSP version of Chinatown Wars. That's GTA.
I heard about that.
It sold like bum on the DS, actually.
Yes, it did.
Who'd have thunk?
So I don't know how much better it's going to sell on PSP. But although I think the other games on PSP sold quite decent, actually. I think they're two of the top-selling PSP games. So
Probably
do a little bit better on there, maybe. But it's hidden October 20th. They still haven't showed off the PSP version, but that's when the game's coming out. So keep an eye out, mark it on your calendars, go pre-order wherever you make your pre-orders or whatever, if you're into that kind of thing.
I wonder if they're making any improvements to it, like visually or anything.
I don't think so. I think it's a straight port from what I've read anyway.
Blah.
Well, you brought up doing anything new, improving anything. Capcom, are they thinking of re-releasing or making a sequel to Okami?
Ooh, that would be good.
We liked the game, didn't really sell too well either. But they have a trademark, apparently, for a game called Okamiden, which apparently the Japanese like to shorten the word, like, Gaiden. Like, they have, like, you know, like, Ninja Gaiden. Well, Ninja Gaiden is Ninja Gaiden. Like, when they bring like, another game with added on, whatever, they'll shorten it. That's what they'll call it. So there's basically starting a little bit of a rumor that they could be working on their Okami game. They don't know if it's going to be a remake or if it's going to be an actual full-blown sequel. And, of course, no consoles were brought out in the discussion. But, yeah, that's on the trademark. I would like to see it'd be cool to see an HD hand-drawn Okami sequel. That'd be pretty cool.
I agree.
Or even maybe even a remake, like, at this point. But I don't know if they'd remake it again, because I don't know how well the Wii version did.
I don't think it did very well at all.
No, probably not. So, but, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Another thing that we'll see is... Sorry, my transitions are fucking awful today. But Mass Effect, we talked about DLC for that for a while, and they came out with that first DLC pack. What was it called? Something at Dawn.
Chris, you bought it. Forgot. I played it. I forgot what it was.
I bought it. Falling
Sky played it. Or Dropping in the Sky. Or, I can't remember what it's called. Either way, we were all like, oh, there's got to be more achievements because they said they're going to have this many more achievements, whatever, and that means there's going to be so many more downloadable packs or whatnot. And they just dropped one on us, actually, today or yesterday. The Pinnacle Station DLC dropped for Mass Effect for 400 Microsoft points. That's $5. Same price as the previous one. Kind of came out of nowhere. I never even heard of it.
They kind of mentioned something about it a while back, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, here it is.
Yeah, at the time we're like, okay, whatever, believe it when we see it.
Yeah.
And then we see it.
Hey, look, we're seeing it.
Which kind of scares me. It's kind of like, well, people have been asking for DLC. We kind of ignored it. We said they were going to do DLC. We did the first one, but we kind of lied. So let's just throw something out there. This thing is called the Pinnacle Station, and doesn't really have too much details. I haven't really looked up on it on Xbox Live yet, but apparently it adds about 2, 3 to 4 hours of new content. Takes place on the space station.
Good.
And it has apparently 13 different combat scenarios. So
cool.
My take is on it could be a bunch of arena battles maybe or something along those lines, or I'm not sure how much of it is actually going to be story-driven.
I heard something like that. Either way, I'm kind of tempted, so I've been itching for some Mass Effect lately.
It's $5, and I mean, Mass Effect 2 is on the horizon, so...
And the thing is that the other expansion, it was $5, and it only gave you like 90 minutes of... 60 to 90 minutes of gameplay, and this one is giving you 3 to 4 hours.
Yeah, but they also told people it was going to be like 2 or 3 hours, too, so who knows.
Yeah, they always inflate it. So I guess it was the 3 to 4 hours from BioWare?
Yes.
Is that who said that? Oh, well, then it's probably more like 2 hours.
Yeah. Well, that hit today, so if you want to...
Bring Down the Sky, that was what it was called, right?
Bring Down the Sky, that's it, yeah.
It's something to that effect.
But if any of you guys want to download that stuff, let me know how it is, and then I'll decide whether or not I want to spend $5 on it.
I'll end up getting it, because I just love Mass Effect that much, so...
It was good, but I don't know if I like the fighting or the battle system enough in Mass Effect to play an entire thing. No, I liked it.
I love it.
But after hearing all the stuff they've done with 2, I'm so excited for that.
Or even the improvements that they made on the PC version. As well.
Oh, yeah.
As far as, like, hotkeys and everything. Yeah. Hey, did you guys get that whole Mass Effect vibe playing Batman during dialogue sequences?
Because you're still walking around and it kind of, everything slows down and, you know,
the transitions from one person to the other when they're talking.
Yeah. Yeah,
it felt very Mass Effect-y without being able to choose
dialogue.
Yeah,
it was kind of close-ups of their face and close-ups here and there. Actually, I got more of a Gears of War thing when you're walking around, especially when he puts his finger up to his ear and he's talking to Oracle.
Yeah.
He's like, Oracle. Well, that's like Gears of War to a T when you're talking on your little mic thingy. But, some bad news. We were all excited. We recently played...
I don't like bad news, Jeff.
We recently played this game for our Good Old Games contest. We played Beyond Good and Evil.
Yeah.
They showed that trailer off a couple years ago. Beyond Good and Evil 2, yes, it's going to be awesome. There's that information leaked, or that game footage leaked a while back, which was gorgeous. Which has looked amazing. It was kind of like a third-person...
Looked amazing!
Mirror's Edge. Looked fucking amazing! And Ubisoft came out and said, Beyond Good and Evil sequel has been put on hold.
Oh,
kind of
fuck.
On indefinite hold, too. It's not even like they're saying it's
indefinite
hold.
Oh, shit.
It's basically they're saying we're working on a Beyond Good and Evil 2, obviously, because they fucking announced it at an E3. And some footage was leaked, but as of right now, we're not working on that IP, and we're just going to see what happens, kind of thing, which bugs the hell out of me, and I don't understand why this would happen. The only thing I can think of is maybe they need to really put out, like, get some development teams onto Splinter Cell, maybe, or Assassin's Creed 2, and just, you know, let's halt production on Beyond Good and Evil 2, and let's get those out the door and see what happens.
Or they just don't care about good games.
And you know what? Let's look at the bright side. Maybe this awesome footage that we saw really doesn't play really well, and they're being like, you know what? We can't have the game unless we have to build from the ground up. Is it worth it? That's the only positive thing I look at. Is like, I'd rather have a good Beyond Good and Evil, or no Beyond Good and Evil 2 kind of thing. But I don't know. I'm kind of grasping here. But
I'm sick of your half full bullshit.
Yeah, dicks. It was so indefinite hold. Yeah, well, they are dicks, but whatever.
I'm sad.
To get you guys maybe a little bit on a brighter note, this Saturday, mm-hmm. Well, I guess by the time people listen to this, it's actually last Saturday that just passed, so this isn't really news.
Oh, nice.
Listening. You kind of
this is the news
boat.
That happened in the past.
Exactly. Well, that's kind of a lot of where our news comes from.
Actually. Well, that's true.
the past.
Now I sound just as smart as Jeff.
But yeah, you could have had an opportunity to play Transformers 2 with none other than Megan Fox.
Oh. Ooh.
On 360.
I know what I'm doing Saturday.
Saturday.
Yeah.
3 p.m. Eastern Time. Yeah,
all right.
you could be playing Transformers 2.
She's gonna be on her vision cam?
Played and enjoyed, and you can play with Megan Fox.
Is she going to be on her vision cam?
No. Oh. But she'll probably have her microphone on.
Oh,
she'll probably
okay.
be saying, what does A do?
Damn it, my thumbs are too big.
When you press A, everyone that's on the mic turns around and says,
Who gives a shit? Who gives a shit?
My son does.
I don't want to play a game with Megan Fox unless it involves no clothes.
Physical
and
contact.
In person.
Right. Exactly.
I don't know. Like, the sad part is probably a lot of people are going to try to do this just to be like, I guess it's kind of cool to be like, hey, I played a game with like a celebrity. Like, it does kind of happen, but I don't want to be like, hey, it's a girl, but it's Megan Fox, who obviously, well,
doesn't strike me as a gamer.
You guys get the gamer vibe? Yeah, it doesn't exactly give me the gamer vibe at all.
No.
So to me, it's
not in the least
PR and marketing. Be like, come on, just do this. It's good for your, you know, it's good for your image. Just do this. You'll do it. Whatever. We'll pay you this much money. Just go and have fun with people on Xbox Live for a bit.
Nah, Megan Fox, I just pwned you with Bumblebee. You suck, noob.
Although it might be worth it just to say that to her.
That's awkward. Okay. Let's take a break.
Okay.
All right, let's do it.
After we come back, we'll talk about sequels versus new IPs, and then we'll do new releases, list their email, and new question of the week. So stay tuned.
All right.
We'll be right back.
And it's time to wake up.
Hey, Josh, I think we need to come up with a commercial now that we're officially part of VG Evo. I mean, everybody else has got a commercial, they've got their radio spot, we got nothing.
All right, you know, how about we talk about achievements, yo?
No. That's already been done.
All right, what if we had a catchphrase, like, I don't know, schmazzle-wazzle?
Schmazzle what? That's ridiculous.
Well, all right, how about, who gives a...
All right. That one's been done, too. I know that one's been done.
All right. Fair enough. What about the top five reasons we haven't done a commercial yet?
All right. Now you're just being a smartass. No, that's not going to work.
Oh, wait. I got it. We can get our girlfriends and we can challenge them to game on the 360. How about that?
I think that's been done too, actually.
All right, fine. Why don't we just tell them who we are?
360 Nation?
Oh, that's real original.
Yeah, because the world needs another 360 podcast.
Indeed it does.
Ooh. 360 Nation is a proud member of the VGEvo.com podcast network and FuriousGamer.com.
And welcome back.
You welcome back.
Thank you.
Chair is still squeaking, God.
This week we are talking about new IPs versus sequels. This basically came up because of something that Activision's genius head decided to talk about. He said that most gamers would rather have the sequels to current IPs that rather than have new IPs. So we were curious to see what you guys thought about it, and you responded, and with only a day's notice. I was impressed.
Yeah.
That is impressive.
This is the spiritual successor to our last question of the
week. So, Jason, why don't you... Why don't you take it away with emails?
We're really sorry about last week's by the way. Hopefully this is going to go a little bit better.
Apparently people thought it was entertaining, though, from the thread.
Anyway, this first one's from Ross. He says, hey, limp-tractive bismactions.
What?
Activision can lick some poo-poo.
I agree. Well,
while I think of my favorite games of this generation, the standout titles are almost all new IPs. There's Infamous, Little Big Planet, Assassin's Creed, Pixel Junk Eden, and Monsters, Valkyria Chronicles, Uncharted, and so on. Sure, there are a couple of sequels that I've really enjoyed, like Fallout 3, Grand Theft Auto 4, Killzone 2, but for me, the new IPs are the ones that typically excite me the most. That's not to say I wouldn't love sequels to my favorite games, but I like to be surprised. I love it when developers take things in a completely new direction and keep the industry fresh with clever ideas and new approaches. Sure, I'm probably going to love Modern Warfare 2, but I still think Bobby Kotick can eat a dick. Rawr. Inside Rosamundo, otherwise known as Colonel Satan.
Thanks,
Satan.
Ross.
Satan.
We have definitely seen a lot of new IPs recently, like in the past year or so.
But he mentioned
several good ones.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He obviously just has a PS3 as well, because, I mean, Mass Effect's up there. I'd say Gears of War is definitely up there. Of course, they've had a sequel since then, but...
Well, sure, yeah.
But that's the thing. I mean, what really gets me about this topic in general is that you have to make a new IP to make people want sequels. And, you know, it's one of those things where, of course, that people are going to want sequels to good games, but don't overrun us. And this is something that we've already talked about, but, like, we don't need a new Call of Duty every year, and we don't need a new Guitar Hero every year.
We don't, but Kotick was right with what he said. Like, no matter how you look at it and what we want, look at the games that Ross mentioned. He mentioned Infamous, Uncharted, the Pixel Junk games and whatnot, like... Even, like, unless the game, they're going to push it, they sold like crap compared to big name sequel X. If you go by the general gaming population, they don't buy new IPs often. Not even close as much as they buy sequels. Like, Modern Warfare 2 is probably going to be the best-selling game of this generation. Hands down. I think so, anyway.
You're probably right, and... That doesn't really upset me much, because I don't mind... You know, the Call of Duties that come out every other year. Like, 4 was good. It was Infinity War did a really good job. I mean, World at War was really good, but it didn't really... I mean, how much did it really change? You know, I mean, the difference between 3 and 4 was pretty big. You know, but the difference between 4 and World at War wasn't that huge of a jump.
No,
what they're doing with Modern Warfare 2...
sold way more copies than any other IP last year.
I know. It's sad. It makes
me sad. That's what I'm saying. Like, we should probably let the Kotick thing out, because yes, Kotick brought it up. But what he said in a business sense, he was 100% on the money. Like, you can't really argue with what he said. He said that gamers out there want sequels, not new IPs. And by game sales, he's right. Except for the odd one that, unless they have the marketing push. Like, I mean, like Gears, and I don't know how well did Mass Effect do. I'm not sure. I know it sold at least over a million, but I'm not sure. It didn't do on the same level like Gears, and that
Gears, it didn't do Gears level.
And that's like an anomaly. That's not, you know, it's like an exception to the rule. So
it's all dependent on how. I mean, Gears did well because it was marketed really well, and that's going to be what causes new IPs to thrive. And Gears definitely thrives because of all the marketing push that Microsoft puts behind it, and rightfully so. It's a great game. You know, there's other new IPs out there that could have done a lot better if they would have had that kind of marketing push.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, I think Little Big Planet could have done better than it did. But
Infamous should have done better than it did, for
Infamous
sure.
Infamous definitely should have done better than it should. And, God, don't even get me started on Valkyria Chronicles. I mean, Valkyria Chronicles yeah, was never going to be a million seller.
Yeah,
but
that had
it
a bunch
should
of
have definitely done
it
better
against
than it.
It
did.
Yeah.
So.
Indeedy. Hey, you guys want another email?
Yeah, let's do it.
Because I've got one. Face. Here comes.
All right.
Good day, guys. It's Fluffy Nuts. About the question of the week. Is it too much to ask for both? But if I had to pick one, it would have to be sequels, mainly because of the backstory and origin converted in the first game. A new IP usually gets good and enjoyable once you get past the introduction, training, and boring bits, while in a sequel you can skip all of that and get right into the action. Of course, this is only good if the series doesn't get hoard out and tired like Tony Hawk and gets stopped before it wears itself out. I heard that God of War 3 might be the last of the series, and that is the perfect example of quitting while you're ahead, because eventually all sequels get boring. Also, in saying that it would be good if Square Enix got over their little Final Fantasy thing and made Kingdom Hearts 3. That would be awesome.
Aren't they in plans for that?
Sure, why not?
For PS3? I thought they were.
New IPs are good, but when you already have connections with the characters or are familiar and comfortable with the controls and moves, you have more fun. Thanks, Fluffy Nuts.
Thank you,
Fluffy Nuts. Nuts.
Fluffy Nuts.
You good Fluffy Nuts.
Well, I definitely
point taken
think
about
both.
The ramp and, up.
Yeah.
What's that?
The ramp up and whoring shit out.
Well, yeah. No, the ramp up, and that you can just kind of jump into a sequel.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Sometimes, for the most part. Sometimes,
usually,
true. Yeah, I like the like. I mean, I agree with both like Ross and like Flavin. Like all my favorite games of this generation seem to be all new IPs, like Gears of War, like Mass Effect, like Uncharted, like Crackdown. The only sequel that is really, really high on my favorite games of generation is Metal Gear Solid 4.
Yeah.
And Halo 3, I guess. But besides those, they've all been new IPs. But at the same time, I like Halo 3, and I like, I don't know, like, I'll even say Killzone 2, even though I didn't play Killzone 1 too long ago, but I kind of got a little bit of the backstory and so forth. You can kind of, like, jump right into it. So he definitely has a point there. But then again, I mean, I like Activision. This is when we bring, I guess, Kotick back into it. Is they have that one problem that sequels are kind of getting a bad rep for, and that's whoring them out and bringing them out every year, multiple copies a year. And
yeah, if you look at Guitar Hero, good God, there's like four or five a year. Guitar Hero 5 is coming out next week. I mean, shit, it's like, does anyone care anymore? I mean, they have so many of them. Didn't they just come out with Metallica and, like, Smash Hits or something like that within the past few months?
I forgot about those.
And now they have, and then they have 5, and now they've got Van Halen that's supposed to be coming out. You know, I mean, it's like, enough already. You know, why don't you just do DLC? You know, you could, it would make so much more sense. Just do DLC and, you know, let people get what they want. You know, have it, make it a platform. You're not making it a platform. I like the way Rock Band does it. They have a platform, but they're doing the same thing now with Beatles and Lego.
Well, even then, remember how it's like we all loved Rock Band, and we actually even got pretty pumped for Rock Band 2. And this year, we really couldn't give a shit about all the different Rock Band games coming out this year.
The only one coming out this year is Beatles, right? We don't know if
Lego's coming out this year. Well, it's supposed to be this year.
Yeah.
But
Beatles, I don't really care for because I never was really a big Beatles fan, and pretty much the entire game is all Beatles music, so that really doesn't interest me as much. But I'm still playing Rock Band too. I mean, I still break it out every once in a while. I still download songs, so it's not like the attraction to the game is gone. You know, I still like it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So,
okay, what about God of War? Do you think 3 should be it?
Oh, that's a tough one. Part of me wants to say yes because I think that they're going to wrap up a really, really, really good story, and it's just going to be there. And you know, I'm Jeff. I like God of War almost as much as you do. Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. I mean, I know that you have like sexual fantasies about Kratos and all, but
right. Only once.
I don't. We don't get that far.
Keep hearing about your fan fiction, really. That's not necessary.
I'm working on my third.
I would like to see another God of War, but more along the lines of, like, to
Metroid.
Continue. Yes, exactly. No, I want to see them. I want to see them continue the PSP series. To be honest with you, because
yeah,
I enjoyed that game, and it was, yeah. But it was kind of short, and I would like them to see to branch that off more. I'd like to know more about how he got to the point where he was in the first game, and that kind of thing.
Makes sense. Yeah, I kind of agree. So. I kind of hope, as much as I'm looking forward to 3, I kind of want them to stop while they're ahead, like yeah. Fluffy Nut said, because even with Chains of Olympus, I was still kind of like, hey, this is the same God of War game I've been playing for a while that I love, and here's 3 that's going to be a new generation, like, technology. Let's see what they can do with it, then after that, kind of stop, because there's been a lot of kind of, you know, I won't say rip-offs coming out, but I guess games made in the same kind of style. Like, even more so. Like, I mean, of course, God of War, you can say it ripped off Devil May Cry or Ninja Gaiden, whatever. But now you're seeing more and more games basically take what God of War have done. Like, I've given what's it called a lot of shit for it. It's that new IP. What's it?
Dante's Inferno?
Dante's Inferno. Looks interesting because yeah. It's a new story, new character, whatever. But it does look like God of War. If you threw Kratos in for that character and said, here's God of War, like 3.5, whatever, you'd believe it was a God of War game.
It really is kind of a spiritual successor.
Yeah, exactly. And the new Castlevania, Lords of Shadows, or whatever.
That looks very God of War-ish too. But see, that's the thing. It's I don't think that's a bad thing.
No. That's why I'm hoping that they do cut it off, because I don't want to see.
Because there's
God
other
War
games
become
that are coming out in that same genre.
Exactly. So it's still going to satisfy my hunger for that kind of style of game, and I just don't want God of War to be just another God of War game. I never want to say, oh, it's just another God of War game. Like, it's another Tony Hawk game. It's another Guitar Hero game.
Right.
Along those
right.
lines.
And see, that's the thing. I mean, this is how we, you know, we did have a conversation about sequels in the past, and it was all about, you know, what's the right timing? Like, how often do they come out? Mm-hmm. And I think the once a year thing is just overkill. And I don't understand how people are still going out there and buying Call of Duty every fucking year. It's the same.
Yeah. Well,
you know, I'm not going to say it's the same game, but
yeah,
I just don't get it.
Yeah, I guess what I like that people are doing a lot, especially this generation, is they're announcing games as trilogies. When a first game does well, they'll be like, okay, this is actually written to be a trilogy. And I know it became kind of cliche, this generation, to say that. A lot of people are doing that. But I like that, because then at least I can expect 3 games, then it's wrapped up, and that is it. Then that doesn't make me feel bad. It doesn't make me feel like it was overkill. Whereas, like, Call of Duty, they're just going to keep going. Like, they're going to keep going till Activision's going to keep putting these out until people stop buying them, which God knows how long that's going to be. So, like, with Halo, they did 1, 2, and 3. It was kind of written for the trilogy. There it is. ODST is an expansion. That's fine. If Bungie comes and announces, like, they announced Reach, which is totally different, that's fine. But if they come out and announce Halo 4, then I'm going to be like, okay, guys, seriously. Like, you wrapped up the trilogy, start over again somewhere else. Like, that I don't mind. And then we're kind of overlapping with last week's conversation. But it's that I don't mind. That's why when a sequel's done, when they say it's going to be a certain amount of games, I honestly do not mind them. I look forward to them a lot more rather than when they keep pumping them out every year. Or even 2 years, for that matter, if they go past, like, 3.
I think I agree with you on that. Because, you know, I'm actually really, I mean, one of the ones that comes to mind right away is Mass Effect, because they said Mass Effect was going to be a trilogy. And it's like, you know, you finish the first Mass Effect, and it's like you're itching to play the next one. But I think that's shows the strength of that new IP that came out. You know, it shows that, you know, that gamers do still want those new games that you know, some companies are taking risks in doing. Ubisoft took a risk with Assassin's Creed, and, you know, most people loved it. And I mean, and you look at Assassin's Creed 2, and it looks a ton better. And everybody who enjoyed the first one really wants the second one. Great, that's fine. Infamous, brand new IP. I mean, how much did we talk about that game? You know, we did a feature on it. It's damn good. You know, the same thing could be said about Prototype. I mean, there's a lot of new IPs out there that are really successful, and I think they can do that. I wish they would just be more creative. You know, just find those creative people that are going to give you these ideas, because you know, the same shit recycled over and over again. Sure, it's great for a while, and you know, sure, you want that again, but you get to a point where it's just overkill. I mean, there's six Call of Duty games. How many of them have been out on 360 since the 360 launch? And when did the 360
since
launch?
2004, 2005. World of War. So there's been one every single year. Yeah.
Exactly.
So five.
Yeah. It's just, it's too much. And Guitar Hero is, as you know, two came out on 360. Now there's three, four, five, and God knows all the fucking branch offs. You know, there's Metallica, Smash Hits, Van Halen, and Aerosmith, and I don't know.
All right, ABBA. Well, let's just do another email, Jason, before Chris punches a kitten.
I'm so glad I don't have cats.
Do you catch one of those lines in Batman where Joker had a bomb and it was it was filled with marzipan and kittens?
No. Oh,
shit, I did catch that. That was good.
Oh, good stuff. Anyway, next email here is from, Craze, also known as W. Bender W. on Twitter.
Hey.
That's how I know him. Anyway, I think the argument can be made for both. It's like going to a buffet. You have bread and butter, like, you know, your AC2, Uncharted 2, Street Fighter 4, Ratchet and Clank, God of War, GTA, Burnout Paradise, MGS. These sequels seem to bring more of the same or something new to their respected IPs, which arguably, in the previously mentioned, is a good thing. If an older IP can reinvent itself, never so often, when it's like a new IP, could be a good or bad. Devil May Cry 4, Nero was too much. The new IPs are seen as the exotic, let's call it sushi, stuff on the menu, and tend to try it, you know, once. If you like it, it becomes the bread and butter. If not, well, mm-hmm. let's just say you will not be trying that again. New IPs, I've tried Fallout 3, Infamous, Pixel Junk Monsters, and Little Big Planet. The key to life is variety. Anyways, I guess I should not write emails while hungry, but if I had to choose, it would be sequels with a little bit of salt and pepper being more of the same or something new. I really do think that there is space at the table for all. I hope it made sense. It's early lunchtime. Signed, Grace.
I hope you enjoyed your lunch.
He also said Scrub Sport for the win.
Awesome.
His PSN is Craze SRK. Just so you know.
Now okay. You all right.
Why? I don't think I have him. I don't think I've
another guy
him.
Is going to kick all our right. ass in Street Fighter. Woo!
I have him on Twitter. I know him from there.
Yeah,
me too. He brings up something that I actually wanted to bring up, so I'm glad that I waited. Yes, exactly. Sushi. No. Older IPs that reinvent themselves. Do you sometimes think that those are almost new IPs at that point?
Fallout 3, I totally consider a new IP for...
Me too.
Console. Yeah, 100%.
Me too. And it's because that the main thing about Fallout 3 is that it shares the same idea, that the same premise of the other Fallout games. It's a post-apocalyptic... Maybe I can talk today. it's that setting, and it carries that name, and it's got a lot of the story elements, like what are they called? The steel guys?
Steel Battalion. Ah. Broken Steel.
Brotherhood of Steel.
Brotherhood of Steel.
Brotherhood of Steel.
Thinking of like the expansion.
Yeah, so it's got all that, but
Pink Bison.
The entire game of Fallout 3 was just reinvented, and they just used all those story elements from the Fallout games to make it what it is.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
And I agree 100%. I would consider that almost a new IP at that point.
Mm-hmm. New IPs they interest me more. When I start playing them, if they're actually good, I tend to stick with them more for longer periods of time. Like, if I'm playing a sequel that I kind of know what I'm getting into, and I might like the game a lot, but I won't sit down with it and play it as long as I would a new IP. Like, the time I spent with my play sessions with Uncharted and Mass Effect and Gears of War, the first time I sat down with these games, was a lot longer than when I first picked up, like, Halo 3 or even Gears. Actually, no, Gears 2 I played through pretty long sessions, actually, pretty quick. But like other sequels of games that I have like on my shelf, which I can't see, and I'm drawing a blank right now because I'm retarded. It's the beer talking. But but yeah, I don't know what it is. It's just because I just feel like everything's kind of fresh, and I want to see what happens, where they're bringing the story, where they're bringing the characters, the gameplay, or whatnot.
Right.
Like Batman, I played for a couple hours straight, and it's rare for me to play a game for a few hours straight in one sitting, unless it's a fighting game and I'm playing like online. So,
okay.
This generation especially, they've been keeping my attention a lot more than the sequels have been. I don't know what that is. Maybe it's because I'm kind of got like a gamer fatigue with a lot of the sequels I like, but
okay.
I don't know.
What do you think, Jason?
I think yes. I think we should go to another email.
All right. Jason wants to play Batman. Hit up another email. Let's do it.
There are thugs to round up. I've got Arkham to save. Anyway, this one is from Tom, mad scientist. You guys might know him from the Amplified Gamers podcast on VG Evo. Anyway, hey, Indus. I'll cut right to the chase and answer this week's question. Like many of the questions, my answer, well, it depends on the franchise and the company. If the game is really good and leaves a story open for a sequel in a good way, then I definitely prefer and want a sequel. I definitely prefer that company to finish the story and make more sequels to finish it off. Like Infamous, for example. Yeah, Sucker Punch could go and make a new IP, but I would rather have a sequel to a kick-ass game and story. Uncharted is another fine example, but a little different. That is a game with a singular story that didn't leave with a cliffhanger. But the gameplay, characters, voice acting, and everything about it has me clamoring for a sequel. I think companies should make sequels if the story warrants it and the people want them. If either of those are no longer the case, go and create a new IP for all of us gamers to love and enjoy. I guess personally I'd rather have a really kick-ass sequel than a new IP. I mean, a lot of times a sequel is the best in a series. I mean, look at Empire Strikes Back and The Dark Knight for some movie examples. You can't have one or the other, but you just have to have a nice balance. P.S. I like sequels, but fuck you, music games. And yes, I know I host a music podcast. Both Activision and MTV are oversaturating the market with all of these goddamn games. This fall, we've got Lego Rock Band, Beatles Rock Band, DJ Hero, Guitar Hero 5, Guitar Hero Van Halen, Band Hero. I mean, Jesus fucking Christ. They should stick to more DLC and not these new games. Sorry for the rants, but these types of sequels piss me off.
I am in agreement. And I think, actually, we just mentioned it.
Yeah,
so
pretty much the same thing, yeah.
I know, it's a very good time. It's like, when it comes to something like that, I mean, first off, Lego Rock Band, that should be just like, it should be just an expansion, a downloaded expansion pack for Rock Band. I really think that
Lego?
It would just...
No, I don't know about Lego.
Let's not go down that. I think we talked about that. Yes, yeah. It's whatever. It should. It is what it is. We're not buying it.
Right.
Whatever. It's crap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's kind of a different format. But I mean, you know, Guitar Hero Van Halen. I mean, Van Halen or something like that should be a DLC.
DLC.
You know.
Yeah.
If they want to make me pay for like an album's worth or something like that, plus throw in the characters.
Yeah, but I don't think that's
that.
Them though. I think that's also the artist.
I know.
Being like,
know.
Yeah. So.
Well, at that point, just
being
don't
retarded.
Do it. I don't know.
You know, well, everyone loves. People are what?
People are buying it, so...
Yeah, people are definitely going to buy it. Because people buy sequels. That's what people do. People in North America especially are obsessed with closure. And unless you straight up tell somebody, there's going to be no more, is it, this is it, it's done, they expect more, and if something they like, they want more. Which is understandable. Like, we all play sequels. We all like sequels. I'm going to kill my cat. but I mean, you don't see people clamoring for Ico sequel or a Shadow of the Colossus sequel. Okay, some people do want a sequel, but I see more people asking for remakes of those games rather than a sequel.
What?
Because I don't know. Looking at forums and stuff like that, it seems like people would be happy with like a remake of Shadow of the Colossus or Ico, but most people are just happy to get the next game. From that developer that takes place in the same universe.
I think that's what it is more than anything.
Because they're not direct sequels.
Yeah, I think it's more of a, like, you know, they're very content with the way that the game is. It's like a masterpiece in of itself. I think these are kind of extreme examples, you know.
But, yeah, but they also, but what they have in common is they actually end. The games end with no, like, now games, every single game these days, like movies, have to end on a note where it's, there could possibly be a sequel. And that's, gives the people, if we like this game and this movie, we want to see that sequel. But if you end something with absolutely no way in hell there could be a sequel, then it gives the audience closure to the point where, like, I'm satisfied with my experience with this journey I just went on.
Yeah.
I don't need a sequel. Just give me something else. Like, that's what, with Halo 3, that's what pissed me off about the ending. They could have, okay, spoilers, whatever. Like, if you haven't beat it, you're not going to. But they didn't kill off Master Chief, which they should have done. They show Moth that they kill Moth at the end of Halo 3. That's what they show. Like, you pretty much think he's dead. But after the credits, they go to a cutscene where you're in this ship with Cortana, and you're like floating away, and you go into a cryogenic chamber kind of thing, and you're heading towards another planet. So they kept it open, but they closed off the line of the trilogy. So of course people are going to be like, we want to see Halo 4. Mm-hmm. If they would have just killed off Master Chief, everything is fine, people would be more or less, they'd just stop asking about Halo 4 and go on about something else. Whereas that's what I think the big problem is, where you're not going to get people to stop craving sequels if you don't do that. Or if you do that. But people buy them. That's what sells so much. And
Now here's something that I wanted to kind of bring up and see what you guys thought. Do you think that one of the reasons that sequels are selling so much, especially right now, is because of the economy that we're in, and it's more of a safe bet to go with something that you know?
I just don't think that people like thinking that much.
Yeah, I think you're right about the
safe bet thing.
Yeah, it's a safe bet thing. I mean, they know that it's like, oh, well, I played the other version, so I know I'm probably going to like this one.
But would you say that's an economic thing? Because, I don't know, looking back a few years ago, it was still sequels that were dominating everything. Like, I mean, Madden's always sold well no matter what year it was.
Yeah, exactly.
Halo sold well no matter what it was. Grand Theft Autos are always going to sell well. Mm-hmm. So, and I think more IPs... that's actually a good question, but I'm trying to think, like, there's a lot of IPs this generation have done well for themselves, whether they've done, like, super fantastic or just enough to get a sequel or whatnot. There's been so many new IPs this generation
that have gotten
Game of the Year, like, nominations, and people have gotten, like, they've gotten a lot of attention. Whether or not they've sold well or great or, like, shit, the numbers, I think, a lot bigger than, I don't want to say last gen, because there was a crap load of, well, last generation's a long time, but I don't know if I could say the economic times are...
It might not be, but it's... there is that feeling of a safe bet, I think, with a lot of sequels. Whether we're in an economic issue, a situation or not, mm-hmm. I have a feeling that that's probably part of it. You know, the people that aren't linked into the gaming industry as much as, say, we are, other hardcore gamers that may be listening or whatever... I think that a lot of those more casual gamers will see a sequel to a game that they know they like, and they'll say, oh, mm-hmm. I'm probably going to like this.
Yeah.
Go Madden.
For sure.
Go
Madden. Or I think, like, again, another thing with North America, people, I think, are afraid of change, and they just like what they like. Blaze Blue's an example. Every single time I show that game off to somebody, they're like, this game is gorgeous, it's awesome. They'll pick up the game, play a few rounds, be like, yeah, it's fun, but it's not Street Fighter.
Yeah.
And yeah, that is true. I mean, it's not Street Fighter, but none of my friends pick that up. Like, most of them have Street Fighter 4, but they will just... I think they're just too afraid to learn something new and getting to something new, because they've put this much time and getting to know character storylines from previous games that they're just used to it, and they don't want to change that. They feel, I guess, they too much time invested, maybe? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. People are picky.
Indeed they are.
Yeah, that's true.
Do you have another email?
I do, actually. I have one more email. This is actually kind of a follow-up from last week, but it does tie in a little bit, so just bear with me. We'll read this.
All right.
Okay. Hi, Indus. I haven't talked to you guys since Final Round back in March and AWA08. How's it going? I wanted to ask you all a question, but I saw the question of the week, and I wanted to give my opinion on that also. With that, here's my opinion. It's rather short on the question. I believe the differences between sequel and spiritual sequels is that with a sequel, it's usually a game or movie that's related to the original story, but it's a continuation, sort of like in books with chapters and such. With spiritual sequels, it's story, characters, or content doesn't have to be directly related to the original source of which it's based off of, but it would share some similarities to each other. As long as the stay is true to that, I believe that such a game, movie, or story can be deemed as such. A good example of this, rather than with Shadow Complex, actually, it's a very big example of this, would be to look at Guilty Gear Accent Core and Blaze Blue.
Both Axis games share just about everything in common other than story and characters. Both games have similar gameplay style, and yet they're different in some aspects. Blaze Blue may be a spiritual successor to the Guilty Gear series, but it has an identity of its own while paying homage to its predecessor. At least that's what I believe is the difference between a sequel and a spiritual successor or sequel. I hope that helps a bit.
All right, so kind of a revisit to what we talked about last week.
But, yeah, talk about that exactly.
But it's still topical. But Blaze Blue is definitely a successor to Guilty Gear. It's not a sequel, but
right.
It's still considered a new IP, and it's one that I think could be successful enough where they could build off of that.
Definitely.
You know?
And that's funny, because that kind of goes against what I just said, is where if it was a Guilty Gear game, if it came out as a Guilty Gear 5, whatever, I don't know what Guilty Gears are at right now, or a sequel, I would have been less likely to be excited for it. But the fact that it was new to everybody, that got me into it even more, because I wouldn't have felt overwhelmed, being like, oh crap, I got to learn, I got to catch up on all these years of games and sequels.
Right.
Instead, I was like, this is the first game. Boom, everyone started off at the same level. Well, technically, they're really not. Because, I mean, if you're good at Guilty Gear, you probably get good at this really quickly. I don't know. Because then I wasn't getting into Guilty Gear. But that was had the opposite effect on me. I was like, oh, it's not a sequel?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. I think I'm gonna read up on this. See what's going down.
Yep. Oh, agreed. Yeah, this was Axis's way of kind of rebooting, I think. You know, they wanted a little more casual market. They wanted a little more widespread appeal. You know, they had kind of carve that niche, you know, market for themselves with Guilty Gear, and I think this is their way of branching out. So I mean, in this aspect, you know, the new IP I think has done amazingly for them. You know, I think they're definitely
a lot better than Guilty Gear, probably. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Lots more mass appeal.
I think so. I think you're right. But it helps that the game is so damn beautiful. So,
I mean, they could have done the same with Guilty Gear as well. You know, and made it just as beautiful. So,
but I think they were trying to put something fresh in people's minds, because everyone has the stigma that the Guilty Gear games are out there already, and you know, there have been a lot of sequels to the Guilty Gear franchise. So maybe this was a situation where they were, you know, trying not to make it overkill, and they decided to go a separate direction.
Exactly. And again, overlapping to last week's the Final Fantasy games, they could have easily not called each successor, like each one, a Final Fantasy game. I'd say after like 6, because I mean the first few are kind of like, I guess because of hardware limitations or whatnot. But I mean, they're all pretty different from each other. They could have been called totally different games, but the fact that they throw a number at the end of it and say it's a sequel, people buy it. I mean, Lost Odyssey. That was Sakaguchi's image in his mind for what he wanted Final Fantasy X to be.
Final Fantasy 11.
Oh, was it 11?
Yeah.
10,
because he was involved in 10, I believe.
Okay. Whichever one it was before he got canned from Square. That's what the next Final Fantasy game would have been. But it was called Lost Odyssey. It wasn't called Final Fantasy. So if you slap Final Fantasy on that with a number, that automatically does a few million more than Lost Odyssey.
Oh, no doubt. It sells, you know, at least 4 or 5 times what it did. Because I don't even think that game hit a million. I don't think it hit 500,000 for that.
No, it definitely did. I think it did over 500.
Did it?
Sure. Okay. Yeah, but I don't think it hit a million.
Yeah, I would agree with that, especially for the bigger franchises. It's definitely, it goes back to that safety thing. You know, it's like, oh, I know that this is going to be a game. I know I'm going to like it, and that kind of thing. So,
would not have surprised me in the slightest if they, you know, put Final Fantasy, you know, as a title in that game.
If they would have,
Well, I'm just saying
it
fit right into that whole universe. Anyway,
oh, for sure, like they all the Final Fantasy games like share mechanics and stuff, but they all I think are different enough, especially in story and for the most part characters, depending on who's developing it, but. Yeah, they're different enough you wouldn't have to call them Final Fantasy, but they do.
They
sell a crap loads because they do.
Indeed. So, guys,
everyone loves the mid-drift.
I'm kind of out of emails. Should I switch it up and go to, like, a voicemail?
Yeah, let's go to a voicemail. Yeah, let's do it.
What the fuck? Why not? I have to click it first, though. Here it goes.
All right. Hey, in this skill nine here, thought I'd chime in on your question of the week. What's new up, IPs versus sequels. Well, it's kind of a mixed bag there, you know, because with sequels, they usually carry over at least something from the original, so you generally have some sort of idea what you're getting into, as long as the same development houses remain with the project, but then there's SOCOM confrontation. But we won't get into that. Then there's new IPs, which are untested, but they give the opportunity for more innovation, so you don't get the same old that we've been kind of stuck in a rut with FPS space marines of various types and sorts and colors.
Very true.
So I guess really you need to find a middle ground, and I think we need to see a lot more of what the smaller development houses are doing, where you test out IPs with small PSN and XBLA releases, see how they do, and maybe you could build it up into something bigger. Hell, some of these smaller releases on PSN and XBLA have been more profound games than anything that you'd spend $60 on, and they're only $10 things you download. So
Shadow Gauntlet.
I don't know. It kind of goes back and forth, a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B. Personally, I'd like to see some more new stuff because I'm kind of getting sick of the same old thing over and over again. You know, Guitar Hero 5. We need that. Really. Anyway, thanks, guys. Oh, yeah. One more thing. What was I going to say? Indusfest!
Oh.
Indusfest! Awesome.
Good stuff. Yeah, I definitely agree with him. I mean, it's always going to be a mixed bag. I'm not going to say that I don't want sequels, because I do. I mean, everybody's going to want sequels to their favorite games. I'd be lying if I said I wasn't very much looking forward to Mass Effect 2.
Right.
But that doesn't mean I don't want companies to take risks and give me something new, you know? I mean, I really want to... I know that Infinity Ward is a very, very talented development company. I want to see them do something besides Call of Duty. I want to see what else they can do. I really do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Why? The reason I'm asking is because they're... Yeah, just because they've only done first-person shooters, and I mean...
But that doesn't mean that's all they have to do. You know, I mean, it's like...
Do you want to see them do a totally different type of game, or do you want to see them do, like, another first-person shooter in a totally
I wouldn't mind a third-person shooter, or even, like, some sort of stealth action game, like a Metal Gear Solid-type game. You know, just something different, something that's not Call of Duty. I branch off. I mean, look at Insomniac. Insomniac was most known for making platformers. All of a sudden, they put out Resistance, which is a very competent first-person shooter. You know, they branched out, they made a new IP, and people liked it. I mean, did it do as well as, like, Halo? No, of course not. But it's still a game that did well and deserved a sequel.
Mm-hmm. True enough.
You know? And same thing with Sucker Punch. Sucker Punch was most known for Sly Cooper. I mean... Granted, you could say there's a lot of similarities between the way Sly Cooper works and the way Infamous works, but it's still different.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Night
it's still
day,
a different feeling.
As, yeah, presentation and storyline. Yeah.
Yeah. So these really talented developers that are out there, I want to see some new stuff. I want to see some risks. I want to see more people take the type of risk it took to make a game like Mirror's Edge. Whether you think Mirror's Edge was good or not,
man.
They took that risk. And you know, there's a lot of people that would probably argue that they think Mirror's Edge is very good. I thought it was good.
Dead Space
is another example.
Yeah. I mean, it's very cliche kind of like type game, but it's very competent. Like I said, it's very polished, and it's I'd say it's at least not a triple A game, maybe a double A game at least. It's a lot of people loved it. Yeah. I don't know how I don't think that sold too well either, but it, you know, it's, I don't know. It's good. Like, again, a lot of these games we love have all been new IPs.
Yeah, and that's the thing. That's why I want to see more of these companies branch out and do new stuff. Like, I mean, Assassin's Creed is new this generation, you know, and now, you know, whether we enjoyed the monotony that was all of the side missions or not, we're looking forward to the new one because of what we've seen with the additions that they're making. Right.
And so would you rather see a bunch of IPs, that's it, boom, done, in the bag, not going to see it again?
No.
Would you be happy with Assassin's Creed 1 being Assassin's Creed and that's it?
Yes.
I'd be happy with that just actually going away.
Yeah. Because, honestly, Assassin's Creed, the first Assassin's Creed didn't really... I mean, I beat the game. I But at the end there, I was really having to suffer through it. I was really pushing myself to finish it. I like what they're doing with some of the new things in part two. So I'm not going to say I'm not looking forward to seeing what two has to offer. Mm-hmm. But there's, you know, these great sequels come from the new IPs that everybody wants to see. I mean, you get to the point where your sequels are hitting 5 and 6 and 7, that's overkill. I mean, do something else.
True. I mean, Uncharted 2, I think, is going to do a lot better than Uncharted 1.
Oh, I agree with that. I agree with that.
Better. But if they go beyond 3, it might be a little bit overkill.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons why I think God of War 3 is like a good stopping point for them. You know, because I think a trilogy is a good amount. You know, it's like it's like enough to keep your appetite going. But when you get to the end of that third game, I mean, how many people are really looking forward to 4?
Exactly.
I mean, there's a few exceptions out there, like Metal Gear Solid, for instance, I would say is an exception. But you know, other IPs like, you know, the Call of Duties every year, we don't need them every year. I like the every other year. I mean, if they were putting out Call of Duty 4 this year instead of 6, I think that, you know, it would probably be a much more welcome game. You know, have Infinity Ward working on Call of Duty, maybe put Treyarch on something else.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you.
So
I hear your brother, man.
Just my thought. I want to see more creativity out of. I like the steps that have been taken this generation, and I would like to see more of it.
I'm with you.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of where I'm getting at.
Not bad.
So is that all we have for emails and voicemails?
Yeah, that's all I got, guys.
So Jason, what's your wrap up here, buddy?
I got to go with that whole column A, column B business. You know,
really?
I'm a very pessimistic kind of gamer. So when I hear about a new IP, I'm like, oh, that sounds cool. But I'm always kind of waiting with bated breath.
Right.
I usually go into it with pretty low expectations. Like, I know, you know, the stuff gets me excited. Like, I was pretty excited about Infamous, but I kind of went into it, you know, like, I hope this is good. And then it just blew me away, right?
Right.
And that's kind of the stuff that usually stands out to me the most, I guess. You know, sequels are kind of the safe bet. You know, I mean, I was, you know, definitely waiting for Grand Theft Auto 4, Metal Gear Solid 4, and all that. And I mean, but as good as those games were, you know, I don't know. I don't know if they'll have a lasting effect with me as, you know, if a really good IP.
No, yeah.
Yeah, when that comes along. So it's that kind of stuff, and it's that kind of originality, and, you know, the different takes on stuff and the different strides and different directions that are going to continue to help the industry grow. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
So
I
branch out.
Do not want it to become stagnant by any means. You know, I'm sick of the music games as much as the next guy. I'm sick of the, you know, the Maddens. You know, just change it up a little bit. I realize they're easy sells, though. And, you know, that's where our points, they don't fucking matter, you know?
Yeah, they really don't. All of our points that we're making right now are
for all these good games. They're not selling
that
well. That's the thing.
Yeah, I know. That's the problem. And it goes back to that feeling safe thing. I think it goes back a lot to people saying, oh, a Call of Duty. Great. Another Call of Duty game. I like the Call of Duty game, so I'm going to buy that.
Right.
And I think that has a lot to do with it.
Yeah. Sad, but true. You know, so maybe we're just, you know, snobs.
I don't think it's being
maybe
snobs.
We're going to the art houses and playing our games.
No, we play a lot of games. When you're playing a lot of games, you're going to play a lot of games that are similar, and you're going to play a lot of sequels, and a lot of games that are similar to those sequels. So you're going to get that fatigue, and you're going to want something new, whether it's just a new looking. Like, we're all aesthetics whores. Like, I mean, if your character can look different after a few hours of playing a game, we're like, yeah, that's awesome. Looks totally different. It's like playing a different game, kind of, but not really.
Did you guys see in Batman where he actually gets beat up and there's like damage done to his...
Yeah, damage to his suit.
Yeah, he's got a thing on his... Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
So that thing. It's cool shit.
She dropped the elevator on me.
As much as before, I'll say, like, I was a huge sequel whore. Like Chris said, before when, you know, when I was younger and I would, like, save up all my pennies to buy, like, maybe 3 games a year, if that. Mm-hmm. I mainly went with sequels for the most part because that's what I knew. And that's what I knew would be awesome. But this generation, I'm finding that the sequels are basically my tied over to the new IPs that I'm really looking forward to. And with the exception of a few. Like, I'm really looking forward to Uncharted 2, obviously Mass Effect 2, ODST, so forth. But same time, I am looking forward to Dante's Inferno. As much as that's a freaking God of War clone, it looks like, I'm interested in that game.
Yeah, me
too. Because it looks a little bit different. I'm interested in what they're doing with the story and stuff like that, but I don't know. This generation, I've been all about the new IP. And I don't know if it's just because we've been lucky and they've been a lot of good ones.
I think, yeah.
Or if I've just been getting sick of repetition. I really can't put my thumb on it because I'm still going for those games with repetition. I'm still buying the sequels, the ones that I really like. But I think I'm looking forward to the IPs, the new IPs more.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm with you. Yeah, and I think that's a good place to stop.
Yeah.
But we pretty much have the same opinion, though, it sounds like. We love the new IPs, and we know that good sequels come from the new IPs, but don't overkill it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And the sequels usually do the bankrolling for the new IPs, so.
That's true. That's always true. Good deal. Good job. That was a good conversation. I like it. I like it a lot. A
little more focus than last week.
Yeah, just a bit.
Train wreck last week.
Wow. Oh, man. It was fun, though. I had fun last week.
Yeah, it was cringeworthy. yeah. Anyway.
All right, cool. Should we do some new releases?
Why? Let's do it up. Not.
We're all going to be playing Batman next week anyway, but what's coming out next week?
I don't even know why they're releasing anything this close to Batman, but maybe Repeat can fill us in on you know what they're going to try and release. Let's see.
All right, Repeat.
Okay, not a whole lot on the release front this week. We've got our Soul Calibur Broken Destiny for the PSP.
Hey, that's cool.
And also Fate Unlimited Codes for the PSP as well. Now, that second one's a downloadable only title. Now, there's one other game that may or may not be coming out. It's a little bit hard to track down the exact date on this thing, but Muramasa the Demon Blade could possibly be coming out on the 1st, or it could be coming out on the 8th. Which either be this week or the week after. GameStop are showing a listing for the 1st, and Amazon, well, they're showing the 8th. So I thought I'd go to the source and check Ignition to see what they say. Mm-hmm. And, of course, they say fall. Then again, their website also says that King of Fighters 12 is coming soon as well, so... that's hardly to be trusted. But either way, if it's coming out this week, great. If not, I'll probably talk about it next week because it's an excellent 2D-looking game for the Wii. It's done by Vanillaware, the same people that did Princess Crown, Odin Sphere, and Grim Grimoire.
Mm. Yes!
If you want to know what good 2D art looks like, then yes, check this game out.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, no
doubt.
Catch
us next week.
Later, man.
Awesome. Thank you, Repeat.
Yeah, I just watched the live stream from Shane and someone else from Ignition tonight, and there were a bunch of people asking for the official release date, and they're standing very firm that the 8th is going to be the official date. So,
yep. That's actually what I've heard from our sources at Ignition as well. Mm-hmm. So,
there we go.
Good stuff. All right, let's fill in the gaps here.
Uh-huh.
For what else next week? For PS3, Mini Ninjas. Cabela's Outdoor Adventure, Guitar Hero 5, and let's see, what else? I don't even know how to pronounce this. I don't know if it's IL-2 or IL-2 Sturmovik Birds of Prey. Anyway, that's coming out next week. Yeah. And that's it for PS3. PSP is getting Soul Calibur, which he mentioned. PS2 is getting Guitar Hero 5 and Cabela's Outdoor Adventure. Sorry. 360's got Section 8, Guitar Hero 5, Gears of War 2 Game of the Year Edition.
Ooh, well,
yeah,
then.
Yeah. Mini Ninjas. Let's
I forgot to play Section 8 demo too, by the way.
What's that?
I played the Section 8 demo too, by the way, but considering I forgot about it, we'll just leave it at that.
All right, thanks.
No problem.
Okay,
next
cool.
Week you can talk.
Cabela's Outdoor Adventure.
2 hours later.
Yeah. IL-2 Sturmovik. Dirt 2 is not coming out next week. Sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. For the Wii, Mini Ninjas, Cruise Ship Vacation Games, Guitar Hero 5, Cabela's Outdoor Adventure, and let's see what else we got. Harvest Moon. There's a lot of stuff coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Real Fishing, Angler's Dream. I said that last week.
This is
said it
new,
for five weeks
thing,
in a
Chris.
Row.
I know. Probably.
Nobody listens anyway at this point.
I know. DS, nothing. Nothing interesting is coming out for DS.
Yeah, Dirt we should probably just start saying, we should always be like stuff for interesting stuff.
Yeah, there's nothing there. Yeah. On PC, Section 8, Champions Online, Mini Ninjas, War Leaders, and that's it. So pick of the week. I'm not sure what to pick.
Pick up either Batman or Shadow Complex.
I second that. I'm going to say, you know what? If we have to pick something that's coming out next week, I'm going to say Soul Calibur Broken Destiny.
Yeah, I'll go with that. But also remind you that there's some Mass Effect and Castle Crashers DLC out now.
That's right.
There is too. So
go check that shit out.
Mass Effect is out now. Castle Crashers comes out next week.
Yeah, and I think Mass Effect's only like $20 right now.
There's no reason to not own that game.
Yeah. And you can download it straight to your 360 now, too, as well.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, it's on the Xbox On Demand.
Yeah, it is, but I don't know if I want to support that sort of thing. Until they give me a hard drive, you know, at a reasonable price.
Yeah, I agree.
That is true.
Yeah. True that, Holmes.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I'll go with you guys. They're like Soul Calibur. I mean, yeah, it's Soul Calibur.
Plus, they've got Kratos. Come on, Jeff.
They do have Kratos. Well, you know, it's almost guaranteed I'm going to pick it up at some point. But only if he's God tier. If he's not, then fuck it.
Oh, yeah, fuck
it. You better be able to kick Sagat's ass with his pinky. That's all I'm saying.
You ever see the Kratos skin for the Street Fighter 4 PC
stuff?
Yeah,
I did, actually, yeah. I think Double Rican sent me a thing on that on Twitter. He's like, hey, you going to get this on PC? And I'm like, no. He's like, well, how about now? I'm like, oh, shit.
Now I got to get it.
Now I need to buy a PC that can handle it. Then I'll get it.
Yeah, no kidding. I need 3 copies of Street Fighter 4.
I do.
All right, Jason.
Yeah.
Do we have any emails?
Well, I got that follow up from Michael B. Anderson. Do you guys remember him?
Yeah, yeah.
From the feature just a little while ago. Anyway, do you remember him from the AWA video that we did last year? Right. He was actually running the video game room in there. Dude with the big afro. Yeah,
yeah. Oh, right. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That guy. Anyway, so let me follow up with his stuff. Here's my other question. Are you guys going to make another appearance at Anime Weekend Atlanta this year? If so, let me know so that I can get you guys all access to the video game room without having to wait in line if the rooms are full like last year. Yes!
Oh, my God, yeah! When is this again?
That is actually very cool.
That is freaking awesome. Cool, That's fine. But when is it?
We are planning on doing it. Let's see. Really sorry about that. Let me know if it's possible. Okay, talk to you guys later. Michael B. Anderson. He's also the webmaster of Anime Toshokan, also known as Aegis Network. You can get him at Anime Toshokan, AnimeToshokan.org, or at the AGESnetwork.com. Anyway. So we are planning on doing another AWA video episode.
Hope so.
That's in September.
September 8th. So I think it's 18th, 19th, 20th.
Sounds about right.
Pretty sure that's it.
Yeah.
You guys have fun, jerks.
You're not coming, Jeff?
I can't get more time off.
Fucking A, dude. We keep talking about this. You got to be here. If you want to stay on the podcast, tell T.
Just move here. God, what are you waiting for?
You can keep the slim at my house. How about that?
All right. Sounds good. I'll be at Indus Fest. I'll be at MGC.
We're not letting you. Indus Fest. That's actually, you know what? That's all the emails that I have. Everybody wanted to talk about the question of the week stuff.
Cool.
Okay.
All right, then.
Well, then.
Let's
give something away.
Yeah.
Actually, we have a lot of stuff to give away this week.
Can I get
What do you guys want to start with? You want to start with a good old game, or do you want to start with the bumpers?
Let's do good old games first.
Yeah, GOG stuff. Yeah.
All right, we'll do that first then. Let me pull up random.org.
I still don't have that sound effect.
After this many weeks, you would think we would actually have something like that, right?
You're right.
No, not us. We like to be unprepared. It's more fun that way. Do it live. Number 18 is the winner.
Yeah, 18.
Let me go over and find out who number 18 is. This makes for great radio.
Dude,
I'm telling
you. Dude, I told you it was going to be 18. It was going to be 30.
I should have just counted it out before, huh?
Jeff said like 2.
Justin Katzman.
Justin Katzman.
All right.
Justin Katzman has won Evil Genius from goodoldgames.com.
Yay.
Congratulations. Yay.
You know, it's awfully lonely being an Evil Genius. It's really tough sometimes. I picture this song in my head all the time. I mean, you're surrounded by evil minions all the time, but there's not a real, like, one-on-one relationship, you know, and where do you go? You can talk to your henchman so much, but, you know, he's just like, Gojira all the time. I don't even think he speaks English. So, I feel bad for him.
But you don't want to feel bad for Justin, because he just got a free copy of Evil Genius.
Exactly. From goodoldgames.com. Can I just add to that really quick?
Yeah.
The henchman that says Gojira, one of his other sayings is, "I have many special moves." I think it's awesome.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Oh shit!
But congratulations, man. For real.
Yeah, congratulations, Justin. I hope you enjoy the game because I surely have. Mm-hmm. Cool. Let's do some bumpers. I'm excited.
Oh, we got more stuff to give away.
Yes, we have more stuff to give away. This is Jeff's baby.
I want Jeff to take care of this.
Yeah, the Marvel vs. Capcom 2. Mm-hmm. First, I want to thank everyone for submitting them. They were actually all really good. It was tough picking out the two winners. Possibly three. We're going to have to wait about a week to figure that out. But we're going to play... Right now, we'll play for you guys the two winners. But throughout the next few weeks, we'll be playing most likely, I guess, all the entries as bumpers in our show at some point. So
I think we should. I think we should throw them all in
because they're all worth it. They all need to be heard. That's for sure.
Indeed. I agree. So if you sent us a bumper, it's going to make its way on a show eventually.
Suckers, you fell for it. We just wanted some extra content, and this is how we get it.
All right.
We have to give away games anyway.
Hey,
so.
Hey, Jeff, why don't you introduce winner number one?
Oh, none of
winner
these.
Winner number one. Actually, we don't even have to introduce them. They kind of introduce themselves.
Exactly.
All right, cool. No, let's do it that way then.
Let's go with the choice right now. Number one winner. Let's do this.
Number one winner. Okay, these are in no particular order.
They're no order, just like one winner, two winners. So, okay. Winner number one.
This is Tamarind LZ.
Tamarama Linglong.
And you're listening to Interactive Distractions. I hope the following does not make your ears bleed.
Neither do I.
It is time for Interactive Distractions with Chris, Geoff, Jeff, and Jason. Hope you're ready for game discussion along with some tangents, SF4 talk, and a giant who gives a shit thrown somewhere in there.
I love it.
The thing is, we didn't really know who was going to be like another winner, so we're going through this duet, and every time we heard that one, we couldn't stop laughing.
Right? I know.
I can't stop singing it. So. Chris, Geoff, Jeff, and Jason.
It's good stuff, man.
Yes.
Tamron LAZ, thank you very much.
Yes,
thank you. So you are winner number one of Marvel's Capcom 2?
Yes. I will contact you probably on VG Evo or on PSN. Just send me your details, and I will get that out to you as soon as possible. So check out the second winner here.
Here we go.
Yo, man, check it out. It's Kill9. Yo, what's up? This is an expletive deleted joint.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They got the news and reviews that you all could use. From Atlanta to Canada through the internet to you. So all y'all in the house, let me hear you make some noise. Get up out your seats and jump for joy. Just yell, who gives a shit? Like you just don't care. Cause Interactive Distractions is on the air. Straight up, bitches. It's like a regular distraction. Except y'all participate.
You.
Except y'all participate. Love it.
That was awesome.
Clearly a winner.
Yes.
That was Kill9.
Kill9 from Expletive Deleted, which Jeff was on last week.
Yes, I was. Yay, Pimpage. Well, Kill9, I think I have your details. If not, I'll ask you again. But that'll be out this week, and hopefully you get it shortly. And I'll be able to kick your ass in Marvel's Capcom 2.
Awesome.
But
so thank you guys
very much
for entering.
Everyone. Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, it was really cool. It was really fun to hear what some of you guys came up with.
You guys rule.
All right, so all we got left is question of the week, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Well,
we can wrap up and all that junk.
Yeah, and we can wrap up. We're doing something a little different next week.
What are we doing?
What?
Yeah, you know that game that was mentioned by Mr. Repeat, that Muramasa game that sounds so interesting.
Yes.
I heard from one Shane Bettenhausen, and he's going to come back on the show and talk about Muramasa.
Hey,
cool. That'd be awesome.
He's going to talk about nostalgia for DS, which is coming out next week too, or next month too.
That looks neat.
That's why that game looked okay. Sorry.
When you okay, I'm,
this
I'm
reminds me of a conversation that we just had.
Welcome to the show, Jeff. I'm glad you made it.
The reason I was saying that is because nostalgia. I haven't really been following that at all. Like Miramasa, I have been. It looks awesome. Yeah. But you sent those videos like with nostalgia. So I'm looking at it. And I'm like, this game looks like shit for a Wii or PS3 and whatever it's on.
it's DS, dude.
Oh, that makes so much more sense.
Yeah, wow. Who would want this shit? Holy crap!
That's exactly what I was thinking. I'm like, for real. I'm like, it looks cool, but really, like, this is like Wii, even for the Wii, this looks like dog toss.
Dog toss. Oh,
can't wait
God.
To have Shane on the show.
I know, really. I hope he's not listening to this episode.
Now that it's cleared up as a DS game, I should have done my research. For a DS game, it looks good, but okay.
Now, Shane, if you can explain the dog toss graphics.
I said
why did you decide to go with dog toss instead of, like, you know, cat hairball? Was that a conscious decision, or?
All right. Anyway.
Oh shit. All right. So yeah, send in your questions about Muramasa and nostalgia. Muramasa is for the Wii, and nostalgia is for the DS, and that's coming out later in September.
Great looking DS game.
Unfortunately, we are actually going to be doing this interview tomorrow if you're listening to this on Monday. So get your questions in quickly. We actually did already have topics up on both Gamers Liberation Front and VG Evo, so hopefully you guys saw those. But yeah, we're going to be talking about those next week, so we're looking forward to that.
Cool.
Good deal. Mm-hmm. You can send your questions to email at interactivedistractions.com, or you can send us a voicemail. That number is 818-528-GAME. That's 818-528-4263. You can send them to Gmail as well. It's interactivedistractions@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. Follow us on Twitter, Indus Podcast. You can also follow us individually, Indus Chris, Indus Jason, and Indus Jeff, G-E-O-F-F.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
Lowercase. Dick.
I totally missed my line. Holy crap.
No.
You can also leave us a message on Skype at Interactive Distractions.
I don't care if you do. There's no Skype line here. I don't care if you capitalize it or fucking hyphenate it. Punctuation. Don't
92
give no shit.
Episodes, ladies and gentlemen. And he forgot a line that has been said 91 times.
Wow.
Dick. Okay.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, he said G-E-O-F-F as well. That's fucking my shtick.
Sorry. Oh, man. I don't know why. I'm just trying to get to the part where I say, do you guys have anything to say before we wrap up?
You want to get to the point where you're like, hey, guys, fuck off. I want to go to sleep. That's basically where you want to get to.
So, do you guys have anything to say before we wrap up?
I do. Jeff, do you have anything? Or
just one quick little thing. We recorded the expletive deleted podcast last week, so check it out. Again, VG Evo, other podcast network. Expletive deleted podcast. Should be good times. I can't really tell you how it went because
our time phases
because they're doing it tomorrow.
We haven't actually recorded yet, but as of the time you listen to this, we
recorded
would have.
It last week. But you're not hearing.
But really, we
tell.
Haven't. Oh. So
this is fucked up. We're recording
this,
on a Wednesday
this show
night.
Turned
we're
not, into a train wreck.
We're not actually releasing this until like next Monday. This,
yeah, exactly. It's almost a week from now.
So yeah. Once again, we're going to be a little outdated.
a little bit. What do you got? What do you have to announce, Jason? I know you have tons on your plate.
More fundraiser stuff.
Dish it out, buddy.
We might even have more stuff by the time you guys hear this, but check the thread on VG Evo. But we got some new prizes to announce and some
additional
stuff. But the new prizes that we just got today, $20 PSN card in addition to a 1600 Microsoft point card. So those are
Very
up for grabs as well. I don't know if I've talked about how we're going to beautify the stick and protect it. But typically you would cut some like plexiglass or something like that, some sort of acrylic to put on top of the stick.
Right.
Well, now we're going to have a pro do it. Art, or Arthur, from Art's Hobbies, techinnovations.com, has graciously stepped up and said, hey, guys, I let me just do this for you, free of charge. I believe That's awesome. The cause. Let me do it. So
awesome.
Art actually has been producing like custom laser etched panels for like TE sticks, H-wraps, and they're phenomenal because of the laser etching. If you guys check out our fundraiser thread, I've got a link to his site and also the SRK forum, where he has a ton of examples of his work, and it's pretty phenomenal stuff. It's like photo quality laser etching. It's not like, you know, one font where it's just like your initials or something. It's actual you know, full pictures with depth and everything. It's That's really cool. Gorgeous, and he does amazing work. And I can't even tell you how cool this guy is, because he's been so accommodating to us, offering to do stuff for us. And he's also going to throw in some additional prizes too. So he's going to throw in a bunch of extra panels for, you know, tea sticks and H-wraps, some printed artwork to give away. So I'm just over the moon happy. First of all, I'm proud to be associated, you know, with this guy, because, you know, he does great work, but he is really, really stepping up and really wants to help out and loves the whole community thing and wants
man,
to see
this
happen.
Man, this is turning into something huge, man. This raffle went to something that you know, VG Evo's doing everything for, and then now Lizard Lick's on board. Yep. Now he's on board, and it's this is awesome.
Street Fighter 4 is the truth.
This is exciting stuff, man.
I'm really happy to do this. But
congratulations to Ian, because I hope this is going to make it so that he can complete his film.
Ian,
I really do.
Yeah, Ian's really impressed with VG Evo right now, because we've had a number of donations already. We've brought in quite a bit of money, and yeah, we've had somebody made a very large donation as well. But
yes,
awesome.
Yes,
but they prefer to remain anonymous at this juncture. So, but yeah, it very much looks like we're gonna meet that goal. We've still got a little over 2 weeks, something like that.
Yes.
Yeah, we said September 11th that we're 11th, doing it.
Yeah. So we're right about there. So it'll probably it'll be about 2 weeks by the time we put this out. So. Not much time left. I mean, we're not there yet, obviously, so we still need help. And, you know, we don't want to just hit the mark and be done with it, because Ian actually set his sights a little low. So, because he was hoping to get, you know, the project funded from the Kickstarter page. Anyway.
Well, we all want to see this thing happen, because fuck, it's Street Fighter and this community, so.
Yeah, I could go on and on about how important
Let people know how they can contribute then, because...
That's pretty easy, actually. You go to vgevo.com, and in the upper left-hand corner, they'll see a little button that says support I Got Next for your chance to win a custom VG Evo arcade stick. So click that, and it'll take you to the forum. You read some details there, but ultimately what you're going to do is pledge some money to Ian, to I Got Next, and then let us know about it, and then depending on how much you pledged, we'll give you some raffle tickets. In a couple of weeks, if we draw your number, you can win some shit. Lots of cool shit.
And I will say this, the stick that we were putting together for VG Evo for this raffle, it is the best stick that, you know, it's got the best parts.
Yeah.
It's got all the top quality stuff, and it's probably going to end up being the best stick that's been made by Jason and I'm going to be helping as much as I can, but mostly Jason.
You're going to be sanding like a motherfucker.
I'm going to be sanding like a motherfucker. That's right, cuz we're going to get a mirror finish on that baby.
I'm trying for it. But yeah, all Sanwa parts, man. It's got the laser etched plexi. Lisa's, you know, really sweating over the artwork and everything. So, yeah, dual mod 360
one of a kind.
Yeah,
that's right.
That's pretty awesome. That's the kicker right there. That's like you can use it on any system. Boom. Well, 360 PS3.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. True. Right.
That is awesome.
Good stuff. Thanks for the update, Jason.
Yep. Indus Fest stuff. So nothing we can really announce yet, but stuff's going on for Friday.
Yeah,
I think Friday's going to be really cool.
Friday is going to be cool. We're still looking to take over North River Tavern. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be in contact with a few more bands, trying to see who we can get signed up, and it should be a good time. Should be a good time.
Should.
Will
it
be a
will
good time.
Be a good time, because it's
Indus Fest. Indus Fest.
Can't wait.
Are we set?
I think so.
Yeah.
I got some thugs to beat up in Arkham.
Yeah. All right, cool. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed the show. If you did, please tell a few friends about us. And if you're on iTunes, please leave us a review. We would appreciate it. So until next week, my name is Chris.
I'm Jason.
And I'm Jeff.
Hi, Jeff.
Play your games.
Hello.
Play Arkham Asylum. And we'll see you next week.
Hi, Chris.
Hi, Jason.